Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, an emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Hey, welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. It's time to stand up against big tech. Protect your data at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. So we do a show here over at the Ben Shapiro Show. It is called the Ben Shapiro Show Sunday Special, in which we interview some of the most famous folks on planet Earth. We did an interview with Piers Morgan, who is now on Sky News, formerly of CNN. You'll recall Piers and I had a bit of a tete-a-tete back in 2013. It made both of us slightly more famous. Well, he and I sat down together. We're pretty friendly now. It's kind of a fascinating conversation. Here's some of it. Piers, great to see you again.
Good to see you.
Okay, so why don't we just jump in with the thing everyone wants to hear from you about, which is, of course, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle.
Do we have to?
We have to. It is a moral obligation to talk about Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. So I have to say that your takes originally on Prince Harry and Meghan Markle were apparently very controversial. I thought they were good at the time, but those things have aged like fine wine.
Because if you remember, my exact phrase that apparently was so problematic was, I wouldn't believe Meghan Markle if she read me a weather report. And that has really stood the test of time.
So for folks who don't understand like how that even materialized in the first place, you have sort of an insider view on who Meghan Markle is. Mm. And the reason that she's relevant is for two reasons. One, because she really will not just leave and take the privacy she so desperately apparently wants. And she just won't take it. That's one reason. The other is that she is sort of emblematic of both a woke generation and an attention-seeking generation. She is kind of the TikTok generation, but kind of morphed into one human being. And so when people look at her, there's some people in the United States still who are kind of warm to her claims of victimhood and this idea that she's being very emotionally open. And there are other people looking at her and like, this is the most bratty person I've ever seen in my entire life. But you have some actual personal experiences that led up to
her. I knew her a bit before she met Harry, and she seemed perfectly normal, albeit like most LA actresses I'd met, but she seemed fine, you know, perfectly normal. And there was a weird series of events. One was the wedding, where she suddenly fell out spectacularly with her father, who we now know had brought her up on his own for quite a few years, actually. And she sort of disowned him, and that all seemed a bit sort of brutal and weird because he was just a guy out of his depth, couldn't handle the media. He was being bothered by paparazzi. Eventually did a deal with one of them where he would pose for good pictures of himself, and that was it. So that was all going on. And we were thinking, well, hang on, this is a bit weird. And then in the months and months after the wedding, you suddenly saw the pair of them morph from a beloved couple. I mean, they were. When they got married, it was a huge celebration in the UK. £32 million worth of taxpayer money was spent, and nobody begrudged them. She was the first biracial bride in the royal family. That was a big moment for a very multicultural country like the UK. And all the headlines were pretty euphoric, actually, contrary to the narrative they're now trying to make people in America think about what was happening. But then over the next few months, there's a series of, well, you could call them missteps, or you could call them classic examples of brazen woke hypocrisy. Two people wanting to position themselves, for example, as eco-warriors. You know, we want you to all watch your carbon footprint. They would say this in speeches. And then they'd catch Elton John's private plane like a taxi service. Or she would preach about poverty in a tweet from their royal Twitter account on the same day she had a $500,000 baby shower in New York here with a bunch of celebrities and flew back on Amal Clooney's plane. And so this went on, and it was one after another. And because of the hypocrisy element, the British media in particular were very critical, very scathing, saying, hang on a second, you don't get all the palaces and the servants and the privileged life for this, right? You have to toe the line. You have to do the job, which involves often quite dreary duty as a member of the royal family, but you get to be one of the biggest stars in the world on the global stage in return. She, in particular, didn't seem to understand this. She thought that actually being a member of the royal family was wearing a tiara, getting a fabulous wedding, and then doing what the hell you like. So they began to just do a load of stuff which annoyed people, and they got the criticism, in my estimation, they thoroughly deserved. And at that point, they developed this victim narrative that they were terrible victims of this brutal, racist British media and the horrible British people who were all turning on them for no reason. But it really wasn't like that. And so over time, Harry's inbuilt hatred of the media, which goes back to when his mother died, and I knew his mother very well, that all began to blow up again, as did his resentment of his family and the fact that William, his older brother, is the heir to the throne and he isn't. So William will be king, Harry won't. And then you put it all together and then you get Megxit, where they leave the country, they leave the royal family, and they wanted to have their royal cake and eat it. They wanted to stay half in, half out, do the good stuff, get all the trinkets, make all the money out of it, but not have to do any of the duty. And that was where you get to the place of the kind of chasm between them as a royal renegade family and the monarchy and the British royal family left behind. And now you have them doing a Netflix series about their life, incredibly self-intrusive, the most gossipy royal book that's ever been published, including accounts of Harry's conversations with his father and his brother at Prince Philip's funeral service. I mean, quite extraordinary. And you just see a pair of people earning a ton of money purely by trading off trashing their family and trashing the institution of the monarchy, which afforded them their royal titles, which make them the money. And to your point in the question, they've come to kind of encapsulate that mentality of the woke brigade, this sense of entitlement, self-righteousness. We're right, you're wrong. We don't have to play by our own rules, only you have to. And it's all pretty grubby and tawdry. And they've now ended up as a South Park, you know, mock-a-thon, which has got us all rolling in the aisles and probably reflects where they've now got themselves, which is they're a global laughingstock.
So one of the things that the Prince Harry has been hanging his hat on in terms of his critique has been, as you mentioned, the media. Mm-hmm. And for Americans who don't follow the media over in Britain, I'm one of them. I didn't spend a lot of time with the British media, as evident from my obviously amazing interview with Andrew Neil, where I had no clue who he was. Why don't you introduce us to sort of the British media scene? Because it is a very rough and tumble place in a way that I don't think that the American media is quite the same kind of beast.
I'm not so sure. I think what's different about America is you don't have the volume of national newspapers all concentrated in quite a small geographic space. So, you know, you can drive through Texas in the time it would take you to drive from one end of the UK to the other, and you still have time to spare. So to put the size perspective out there, that's the difference. So you have state newspapers, you have city newspapers, town newspapers, you've got a few national papers, but not as many. We have like 12, 13 national newspapers all scrapping for the same 60 odd million inhabitants of the United Kingdom. So it's a bit more intense, I would say, is the main difference. I think when it comes to the royals, the media are the royals' best friend and their toughest critics. We're their best friend collectively, because without the media oxygen, this royal family and monarchy would go the same way of most other European monarchies. They would just disappear into oblivion. They need the support of the people. The people's support is reflected through the media. It's a connection between the three things, the public and the royal family and the media, and all three basically fuel each other. So I felt that Harry's view of the media was completely clouded by the death of his mother. I completely understand that. I've always said that. His mother was killed by a drunk driver in a French tunnel, not by the paparazzi, who were more than 1,000 yards behind them when it happened. They didn't cause the accident. But his mother was constantly pursued by the paparazzi, and he saw this, and he blames the paparazzi for killing his mother, and therefore he blames the media, even though they weren't British paparazzi, actually. So he has this fixated hatred of the British media. Everything is the media's fault. And when you watch the interviews he gave with his book, it was almost comical. You know, when they both went on Oprah Winfrey and accused the royal family directly of being racist, we all saw them do it. They basically said a member of the royal family expressed concern about the skin color of their baby. That's an allegation of racism, I mean, inarguably. And yet, 2 years later, Harry promoting his book, he didn't put it in the book, this incredible revelation, which caused so much damage. He then says, well, we didn't say they were racist. It was the media, British tabloids, completely deluded. obviously it was from him and his wife on global television. So there's a delusion there. I think he's not the brightest bulb in the tulip patch, Harry, to put it politely. I think she is very manipulative. Meghan Markle is someone who's basically got rid of almost her entire family on her side, apart from her mother, her entire family on the father's side, including her father, which is incredibly sad. And now she's wrestled Harry away from his family. So how happy they really are in this mansion in California, when they have no connection now with any of their family, bar one or two people, I find it very hard to believe that makes anybody happy. So it's at one level, it's sad. Another level, it makes me quite angry, the damage they've caused to the monarchy. I think most British people are sick and tired of them. The polling has them now below Prince Andrew, which I didn't think would be humanly possible. So, you know, it's a mess. And you've got the coronation coming. It should be an enormous moment in British history, because we haven't had a coronation in my lifetime. The Queen, of course, reigned for over 70 years. So it should be a moment of great celebration. But what's going to happen if these two are there with their Netflix cameras in tow? It's going to be just another part of the Meghan and Harry circus. So a lot of anger back home about this. Interesting to be in America again and feel the reaction to the South Park mockumentary, because it's clear that they're losing a lot of support here as well.
We'll get to more on this in just one moment. First, as Jews in Ukraine are celebrating Passover once again, the threat of war is still a harsh reality. Many of those are elderly Jews and Holocaust survivors who fled their homes and now find themselves seeking a place to live without food or water. They're in desperate need of life's basic necessities. The International Fellowship of Christians and Jews has been in Ukraine every day since the war began. The fellowship's partners and volunteers are on the ground right now. They need your help today to reach even more Jewish people with life-saving foods. The people of Ukraine can celebrate Passover with dignity and devotion. In fact, the need for Passover meals even today has reached levels never seen before by the International Fellowship of Christian and Jews. You can help out today with a gift of just $25. You'll help provide one Jew with a Passover food box that includes matzah and other special Passover food. Today, we have a special matching challenge opportunity. Your gift will double in impact. A $25 gift becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. You see how the math works? Go to benforthefellowship.org or call 800-331-3737 to make a gift of just $25 to the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews to help rush a Passover food box to Ukraine today. That's benforthefellowship.org. Rush a Passover food box today.
So you mentioned Prince Harry in terms of personality and him not being particularly bright and being kind of vapid, actually. And that was pretty evident from his book, Any Man Who Writes About Facial Cream and his Todger, again, a word. I have to admit, I know a lot of words. I did not know that word until
it's
I read
it. It's a very posh British phrase for a man's genitalia.
Well, how dare you? First of all, a man's genitalia. I mean, that's a whole other subject. Maybe a woman's genitalia.
Let's not even get into a man's genitalia.
Right, but well, first of all, yes, agree. But, you know, this raises a question that I get a lot when I'm covering politics, and that is people are constantly, when they watch politics, assuming that if something goes wrong or if something is bad, that the reason that that's happening is because of malice. That it's because there is somebody who is ill-motivated, who's attempting to put one over on them. Or there's a cadre of people who are extremely competent and evil who are attempting to do something. And so something bad happens, and their first move is, who is this cadre of evil people that we can go after and blame for the thing? What you said about Prince Harry rings true to me, not just about Prince Harry, but it rings true for, I would say, 85% of the people who are in politics. Mm. Many people are just incredibly stupid.
Yes.
And this tends to burst the bubble of a lot of people who watch politics, because we like to believe that the people who lead us have some semblance of IQ and actually can rub two neurons together. But it turns out that many of them cannot. You've been covering politics a lot longer than I have.
Well, certainly in British politics, for example, Boris Johnson became prime minister. Now, Boris Johnson is a bumbling buffoon, if you look at him. I mean, he doesn't even brush his hair. He has this ridiculous voice. But underneath it is quite a sharp brain. But I once interviewed him for GQ magazine years ago. And I said to him, he was then planning to become London mayor. And I said, Boris, you know, people always say to me, oh, Boris Johnson, he's a buffoon. But I always defend you, so that underneath the buffoon exterior lies quite a smart, calculating political brain. And he said, well, that's very kind of you, Piers. He said, but you must consider the possibility that lurking beneath the buffoon exterior is an actual buffoon. But he may not have been joking. But I think that, yeah, look, I think the reality in Britain, I'm not quite sure how it works on the pay structure in America, other than to run for president is very expensive. So it immediately rules out vast swathes of the people. In Britain, we pay our politicians a meager amount of money comparative. You know, to be a top politician, you might get $100,000 a year. You and I know that is not enough to attract high caliber people unless they really see political life is an absolute vocation. They're not doing it for the money. And it also encourages, of course, people to be then corrupt. Because if you're earning very, very little money, but you have access to power, then that is the lethal cocktail, where the temptation is there, you don't have money yourself, you can make it by being corrupt. So that, I think, is always a self-defeating thing. I would personally pay politicians in Britain three or four times what they're being paid. It wouldn't be popular in the short term with the public, but you would attract a higher caliber of person to be political figures. I think most of the politicians I've met in British side, certainly in the last 10 years, have been shockingly mediocre. I mean, just on an intellectual level, incredibly lame. Just not very bright people. You know, the tulip patch is bare, to continue the analogy. In America, I think there's probably a slightly higher standard, but, you know, not much. I mean, I don't think you look at the American cabinet like you do the British cabinet and think, these are the brightest people in the country. You think these are the people dumb enough to actually want to do this, because the media scrutiny is intense, drives a lot of people away from it. And it's a tough, hard job, and the rewards aren't great. You know, unless you actually end up in the White House, the rewards just aren't great. So I think the system itself doesn't lend itself, either in this country or in my country, to attracting the best people. When, if you think about it, that's really bad, because what you want in a democratic society is that the people in power are actually the brightest people in the country, making the decisions that affect everybody else. So it seems to me you have a sort of far too much mediocrity, not enough great talent, and the victim of that is the populace, that then has decisions taken that affect their lives directly by people who aren't very competent.
We'll get to more on that in just a second, but first...
Noble Gold Investments has made it their mission to stay on top of the most important economic news. Three bank runs in less than a week. These are the second largest and third largest runs in history. The government is taking steps to guarantee all deposits. That means more money printing. Plus, the Fed is sitting on unrealized losses of $1.2 trillion on their $8.3 trillion bond portfolio. And the Fed will continue to raise interest rates even if they tank the economy. Do you know who are the only ones not afraid? The ones that are invested in gold with Noble Gold Investments. Gold is the most stable asset outside of any government control. Thousands have approached Noble Gold Investments to get their hands on gold. Hurry and go to NobleGoldInvestments.com to secure your wealth now. Use Ben as promo code. If you want to get a free 5-ounce America the Beautiful coin with each gold or silver IRA if you qualify, NobleGoldInvestments.com. NobleGoldInvestments.com. Individual results may vary. There's no guarantee that past performance will be indicative of future results. Invest wisely.
Alrighty, coming up, more with Piers Morgan. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you ready for the biggest and best week-long event of the year? Cool April Nights is back and better than ever. April 21st through 30th, Cool April Nights is the perfect opportunity to showcase your classic cars. Pre-registration is open now at CoolAprilNights.com. Classic cars, live entertainment, cornhole tournament, drive-in movie, and so much more at this year's Cool April Nights. For a full lineup of events and to pre-register, go to CoolAprilNights.com. That's CoolAprilNights.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Redding, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Starting March 12th, every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue, open and free, every other Sunday, right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
Here at KCNR Radio, we are fortunate to have two well-informed citizens. Hi, I'm Nick Gardner.
And I'm Doug Janke, and we'll give you the inside scoop of news affecting you.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest, Sundays, here, 8 o'clock.
KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and on your AM dial, 1460.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Minimum order may be required.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Piers Morgan and I did an interview a few weeks back on topics of the day. It's really fascinating. Here's what it sounded like. I want to take a step back here and have you explain to me the current state of British politics, because I look at this from afar and I have, you know, sort of baseline level knowledge of British politics and British political history. I cannot for the life of me understand what is going on. Meaning,
let me explain to you that the central fulcrum of everything was Brexit. So David Cameron was prime minister. He'd been prime minister for quite a few years. He was kind of mediocre, but chugged along, and everyone was like fine with him. He was like, he wasn't an inflammatory guy. He was quite charming personally. He spoke well. He was eloquent and so on. But then under pressure from the right wing of his party, he suddenly decided to capitulate and allow a referendum on whether Britain should stay in the European Union. And I voted against it. I thought it was a crazy thing to do. I think there's a strength in numbers, and I think the United States of Europe, if you like, is far more powerful together than it would be individually. But my side lost, and the Leave vote won, led by Nigel Farage and other characters like that. And I respected that result. I respect democracy. That was the will of the people. You know, nearly 17 million people voted for this. It was an enormous vote. The whole election, or the referendum, was enormous. But it was incredibly divisive. It was like Trump being made president here. It split the country in two and made it very visceral. Then you have the explosion of social media, which is compounding the tribalism on both sides, and it all gets very fractious. And the Conservative Party then had to try and make this work, which has proven to be incredibly difficult, because Brexit actually doesn't really work. So it sounds good. You get your freedom, your autonomy from the rest of Europe, blah, blah, blah. But in reality, it's painful and expensive, and people are fed up with it already. Doesn't mean it won't work, but it means at the moment we're now 7 years after that referendum took place and there's no sign of it working. So eventually the clock's going to tick and people will realize we shouldn't have done this, I think. But the Conservative Party went on a sort of weird journey of leaders who were either completely incompetent, shockingly mediocre. So we had Theresa May, who was pretty awful, then Boris Johnson, who was a buffoon, who didn't think rules applied to him, very Trump-like in his way he went about his leadership. During COVID, he was having lots of parties allowed in his Downing Street home. He says most without his knowledge, but certainly for one, he was fined by the police for knowing about it, whilst dictating the rest of us had to be locked down and so on. So he then got bounced out over a slew of scandals, really, and was replaced by Liz Truss, who came in out of nowhere, really, and said, right, here's what we're going to do to fix everything. I know it's a terrible financial climate at the moment. I know we're coming out of a pandemic that's been ruinous for the economy. But what we're going to do is slash taxes. And that's going to lead to enormous growth immediately. And we're all going to be fine. It was like this fairy godmother had come along to sprinkle a bit of dust. And of course, it all sounded great, right? Who doesn't want to see taxes slashed? The trouble was she had no way of paying for it and didn't say how she'd pay for it. So when she did this, the markets tanked, the pound tanked against the dollar to a record low, and she had to resign after 44 days. The Daily Star tabloid newspaper actually had a lettuce, and they put the lettuce there and said, we'll see who lasts longest. The lettuce outlived Liz Truss in the last 10 days, which gives you some idea of the farce and also how ridiculous the whole thing was. And then she got replaced by the person she'd beaten in the previous leadership campaign, Rishi Sunak. former Goldman Sachs guy, knows the economy, very serious. He had predicted everything that would happen if she won, and it happened. So it's been a farcical ride, really, but the fulcrum at the start of it, for all of this chaos, was Brexit.
Alrighty, coming up more with Piers Morgan, this is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Betsy has a scratch.
Who has a what?
Betsy, my car. She has a big old scratch on her side. Honey, I've had her since college.
I know, honey. Take her to Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. It's going to be okay. Remember, that's where you told me to take my car because they do minor and major auto body repair and full paint jobs. And it looks like she could use one.
Crossroads Auto Body Repair.
You know they do free estimates. Call 530-226-0992. Write it down.
Got it. 530-226-0992.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com. Don't miss the Sue McClain News Hour from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. and Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, we have Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. From noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, the great outdoors, pop culture, and find out what's happening in the North State. From 7 to 10, tune in to Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. KCNR's weekend lineup includes The Flatline with Rick Hughes, Poke the Hornet's Nest, Jefferson State of Mind with Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter, followed by Sovereign Minds, We the People, and Tokens Radio Show on 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and hear us online at KCNR1460.com. Hi, this is Sue McClain, the sales manager here at KCNR. And if you've been considering advertising, but you're not really sure where to start, well, you can start with a phone call. My number is 530-605-4565. I can let you know how much our rates are and how we can help. So once again, if you have any questions regarding advertising and how we can help your business, our number once again, 530-605-4565. And thanks for listening to KCNR.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
What's being hidden from us? About the COVID-19 scenario? About covert climate engineering operations that are wreaking havoc with weather all over the world? About the totality of unfolding and accelerating global environmental collapse? If you're willing to face and investigate shocking, verifiable realities that mainstream media sources and their distract and divide talking heads will never tell you, tune into the commercial-free, non-political, global alert Alert News Hour, Saturday at 11 a.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
It's the Ramsey Show, talk radio where debt is dumb and cash is king. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and hear us online at kcnr1460.com. Don't miss Armstrong and Getty, plus Ben Shapiro, and Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott, featuring special guests talking about local issues on KCNR.
High five.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So we do a show here at Daily Wire. It is called the Ben Shapiro Show Sunday Special. Well, a few Sundays back, I had the opportunity to sit down with Piers Morgan. Here's what that sounded like.
Right. So the reason that I was confused about all of this is because I look at the Conservative Party in Britain, which is sort of a more moderate version of the Republican Party in the United States in a lot of different ways. And I don't see a lot of sort of unifying principles inside the Conservative Party. So
no.
You had Boris Johnson, who's a big spender, who was an environmentalist, like a very green leader, somebody who was socially left-wing. Right? So how was that wildly different from many of the people he was opposing? And then you saw Liz Truss come in, and she proposed what is, by most accounts, a fairly conservative political program. I'm of the belief that the Bank of England essentially purposefully tanked her prime ministership because they certainly could have held it up for another couple of weeks, but they decided not to. They would prefer to allow the bond market to
basically. Well, they kind of freaked when the markets freaked because the problem was she just went so early. She hadn't costed it out. She didn't say, here's how we pay for this. And as you know, when markets see uncertainty, then they freak, right? So maybe the Bank of England could have done, but actually, I don't blame them because it was total carnage.
Well, in any case, I have a hard time seeing what exactly the Conservative Party stands for, and so you're starting to see this massive upswing for a Labour Party that was basically left for dead about 3 years ago when it was led by Jeremy Corbyn, who's an actual communist nutjob. And now, of course, he's been supplanted by sort of a mystery figure, almost.
Keir Starmer, yeah.
Yeah, who
former head of the public prosecution, so a very smart lawyer, quite a dull guy. I mean, by common consent, he's not Mr. Charisma, but he's done
pushing from what I see some pretty strong anti-crime policies. He's talking about upping the police in rural areas.
Yeah, I mean, it's very hard now to distinguish between this Labour Party and the Conservative Party. Really. There's really not much difference between them. If you actually change their names and had them saying the same stuff, it wouldn't sound that different. The difference was Truss, who tried to be old school conservative, but she evoked the spirit of Margaret Thatcher, but she did it, I think, historically incorrectly. Margaret Thatcher, when she first came into power, and she was leader, she won three elections, but when she first came in, she inherited a very difficult economy. And she actually increased some taxation to get the economy back onto a level keel. Then she cut income tax in particular significantly and became known as the big tax cutter. But she understood you've got to get the economy stable first. Liz Truss pretended to be Margaret Thatcher, but actually ideologically she just got her history wrong. Rishi Sunak realized this, and I think, well, therefore, he's probably the best person right now to try and guide us to a more even place. I interviewed him recently. He's a very smart guy, takes the job very seriously. You're not going to get him partying all night long and so on. But you're right. I mean, what is the heart of his Conservative Party? You wouldn't recognize it. You really wouldn't recognize it. You could really interview the head of the Labour Party and Rishi Sunak right now, and they wouldn't sound significantly different.
So looking at the political situation and looking at sort of the broader overall situation for Great Britain, what do you think are the biggest problems facing Great Britain? I mean, we see these sort of system-wide problems in the West.
Brexit is the biggest problem, which is in addition to all the other problems facing every other country. So every country was hit by the pandemic in varying degrees, depending on how they handled it. But Britain has got the slowest growing economy of any of the major European countries because of Brexit. So unfortunately, all roads really lead back to that. Other stuff has compounded it. The cost of living crisis, the energy crisis because of the Ukraine war, all these things have had an effect. Of course they have, but they're no different to any other country. The French have that. The Germans have that. The Spanish have that. The Italians have it. What distinguishes Britain in terms of its woeful economic performance comparative to most of those countries is Brexit and the fallout of this severance from the EU, which has turned out by common consent, even for many people who voted to leave, so far to be a failure.
Okay, so talking about sort of the economic problems that are faced by Great Britain and also by the continent as a whole, you know, we basically, I think, in the West, been living in a dream factory for a long time. Globalization covered a lot of ills. It allowed us to outsource a lot of our problems. It allowed us to bring down costs while simultaneously spending oodles and oodles of money that actually don't exist. And now we're starting to see inflation, not starting, the last several years, raging out of control. It seems like we may be entering a bit of a, to use a British history, you know, phrase, a winter of discontent here for all of Europe and all for the United States as well. What do you see as sort of the economic future here?
I think the next year is going to be very difficult. It may not be quite as bad as some of the biggest doom-mongers feared. The main reason for that, though, is a situation which remains extremely flexible, which is the Ukraine war. So the energy pressure on energy prices has eased in the last few weeks and months because it looks like the Ukraine war is now in for a longer haul. It's not as unstable a situation as it seemed at the start, which created all the energy crisis. But it wouldn't take a lot, as we know, you know, if Putin was to suddenly use a tactical nuclear weapon, as he keeps threatening to, for example, what impact would that have on the global economy, on energy prices and so on? So I think it is actually a lot more unstable than people think. That's why I think you'll see the markets very schizophrenic. They're up and down, up and down, up and down. Nobody's really quite sure what to make of this. So I think it's very hard to predict. I mean, all the ones who are paid to predict these things have been made to look a bit stupid in the last few years. So I think it's hard to predict. But it really depends, I think, on certain big things from the UK point of view. One, can Brexit be made to work? And I think that's a massive if. There's no sign of it so far. Secondly, what will happen with Ukraine? Because that is really dictating a lot of the pressure which is on many countries now. Not the United States, actually, because you're not as dependent, of course, on energy as other countries. But look at Germany, who were warned repeatedly by Donald Trump to their face in video clips you can see online. You know, he warned them, your reliance on Russian energy is madness. And they all ignored him. And now, look, he was right.
Get to more on this in just 1 second. First, folks, if you own a small business, you know the value of time. So does Innovation Refunds. That's why they've made it easy, no matter how busy you are, to apply for the Employee Retention Credit. That's ERC. Go to GetRefunds.com to get started. In less than 8 minutes, you can see if your business qualifies for ERC assistance. Your business might be eligible for a payroll tax refund of up to $26,000 per employee kept on payroll during COVID-19. In other words, you may have overpaid your taxes. Innovation Refunds has already helped clients claim over $3 billion in payroll tax refunds through the ERC. They might be able to help your business as well. There's no upfront charge either. They're not going to get paid until the business gets its refund, so you really have nothing to lose. And until you get money, they're not going to see it on. Many businesses believe they won't qualify based on incomplete or outdated information. Don't let this opportunity pass you by because the payroll tax refund is only available for a limited amount of time. Head on over to GetRefunds.com. Again, that's GetRefunds.com, GetRefunds.com. It's been a rough several years for the economy. If you're a business owner, you've had to ride out that wave from the COVID lockdowns to the inflation of Joe Biden's era to the stagnation that's about to come. It's a rough time for everybody. This is why you should check out GetRefunds.com right now. Head on over to GetRefunds.com. Let's talk about COVID policy. Yes. So COVID policy obviously has been an area of tremendous controversy. It's been my opinion that, frankly, a lot of the institutions that promised that they were going to be able to actually handle things were blowing up data that they didn't actually have.
I agree.
Many of them were exaggerating the power of their ability to control this thing, that many of them were pushing things like mask mandates, which were wildly ineffective, that the promises that were made on behalf of the vaccine, well, I tend to be what would pass for moderate on the right side of the aisle these days. I believe that the vaccine was good for people who are elderly and obese to take. But I myself, I was 37 when I took the vaccine. And at the time, the reason that I took it is because it had been promoted by the federal government and by Pfizer that this thing was 99% effective in preventing transmission. And my parents were with us and they were above the age of 65. And so I figured, okay, well
a good friend of mine in his early 50s is still in a coma, nearly 3 years now, because there was no vaccine and it would have saved his life. So I believe the vaccines worked. I think what didn't work was the certainty that some of the data was put forward to the public about. And I'll give an example where I did a complete U-turn, which I have no problem talking about or admitting, because I was too self-righteous in believing the scientific data. So when they said, for example, that if you don't have the vaccine, you can transmit the virus, but if you do have it, you can't. I believe them. And because I believe them, because they were so emphatic that that was the case, that if you got the jab, you couldn't transmit it, I then got very censorious about people who didn't have the jab. Very censorious. And there are tweets of mine which I've left up, And I get reminded of them regularly, and quite rightly, because I believed the science, and the science was wrong. And because I believed the science and then got too emotionally overwrought by all this, I was saying, well, then the people should be punished if they don't have the vaccine. Obviously, I don't think that now, because once it was established that that was wrong, once it was established if you had the vaccine, it made little difference to your ability to transmit the virus as to whether you didn't, then it becomes a matter of personal choice. But it wasn't when I was being censorious, but it taught me a lesson. In these health crises in particular, don't be too censorious because you can't be certain they're right. So actually, I wish I had been more critical of the scientists than I was. I wish I had. It doesn't mean to say I would become an anti-vaxxer, because I believe the vaccines were incredibly effective and saved millions of lives. And I will always believe that. And I think most scientists agree with that. But it does mean that, you know, for instance, masks at the start, the reason we were told the masks were ineffective and shouldn't be used was because they actually wanted to use them around the world for health care workers, right? So they didn't want the public running out and taking all the masks when there weren't enough to go around. That was the real reason. I think they lied to the people. They lied and said the masks are ineffective. Then they said the masks are incredibly effective. Now I see people wandering around New York outside wearing masks. I think they're nuts, completely nuts. So there's people like, you know, it's like the Japanese soldiers, you know, 20 years later out of the World War II, still wandering around saying, is it over yet? It's like, it's completely crazy. The pandemic has gone. It's now just another, I've had various family members have had COVID in the last 2-3 weeks. It's like getting a bad cold, right? So, but I learned a lesson. And I think it's an important lesson which I would now try and use to advise other people, which is, if it's scientific guidance in the middle of a really serious crisis, don't believe government modelers who might have a vested interest in wanting just to take the easy option, shutting everything down. If they are going to shut everything down, put huge pressure on those government bodies to make sure that people who have other things outside of COVID get properly taken care of. Because now the secondary wave of this pandemic are all the people who didn't get treatment for cancer and health disease and so on, which is, I think, disgraceful and should never have happened. But also be able to look at yourself on any side of this. And I would say anti-vaxxers who think the whole vaccine thing was a scam and, you know, you can get your brain chipped by Bill Gates. I mean, all that stuff, lunacy. So I'm not talking about the lunatic fringes of this debate. I'm just talking about the way I behaved, I think, was wrong. I think I shouldn't have been so censorious, because now I can realize the stuff I was being censorious about, I gained my self-righteousness from false information. And I'm not afraid to admit that.
Well, no, listen,
I actually think it's quite powerful to admit that and to say I was wrong. And so when people say to me on Twitter all day long, as they do, you know, well, there you go, blah, 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 fine. But if you were one of the anti-vaxxers who really are anti-vaccines, full stop, I don't want to hear from you either. So I'm talking really about the more moderate people who quite rightly were more skeptical than I was about things like transmission, because they were right and I was wrong.
And so I have many of the same issues. Obviously, I encourage people to take the vaccine in the very early days, rooted in the transmission stuff.
Right.
And the one thing I never was in favor of were the mandates, specifically because, oddly enough, the data they were pushing at the time led me to be anti-mandate, because there are two things they were pushing. One, that it was 99.99% effective in preventing death and serious disease. And two, it was 99.99% effective in preventing transmission. Well, if the first is true, then you don't have to worry about the transmission right. So much. Meaning anybody who wants to get vaxxed can get vaxxed. But it is kind of amazing how the scientific community blew itself out in terms of credibility by making exorbitant claims about the vaccine. Today, they'll still make exorbitant claims about the vaccine. I mean, the CDC is now adding to the vax schedule for small children the COVID vaccine. And one thing that we knew,
ridiculous.
It's insane. I mean, from the very earliest days of the pandemic, we knew this thing was not killing kids.
Yeah.
And yet, this is now being promoted by the CDC still. And then if you doubt it, then you get censored on YouTube.
Yeah, listen, I think that's really true. And I think that I give some leeway for the fact it was a novel virus. It was pretty terrifying. When you see someone like Lombardi in Italy collapsing, and Italy has the second best healthcare system in Europe, when you saw that happening and thousands of people dying every day, it was terrifying. And there were no therapeutic treatments at the time. There was no vaccine. We didn't think we may ever get a vaccine. There'd never been one for a coronavirus. So it was pretty scary times. I mean, we forget what it was like in those first few months. So I do give political leaders and the science and health officials a little bit of leeway. Where you get less tolerant is as it's gone on and they've carried on I think, being the way that you just described. I think that's completely indefensible. I also had a massive problem with people like Anthony Fauci, but just he seemed to spend all his time doing television interviews and magazine covers and receiving awards. I'm like, mate, you've got one job, right? This is, you are the head of infectious disease, whatever it is, whatever your title is. Just make sure that you save as many lives as possible. But don't turn yourself into some weird COVID celebrity. He seemed totally addicted to the fame part of it. And I thought that was wrong. In fact, I think that's wrong. Another lesson from the pandemic, there have been many lessons from it. One is don't trust all the science. But also, public officials in the health side should just stay away from cameras, I think. It didn't add to anything. It made things worse.
Well, there's a Fauci rule that I have, which is never trust someone with authority who has a giant portrait of himself in a magazine photo shoot of him. That's always a terrible sign as to what's about to happen. Well, this does raise the question of the 2024 race, because one of the people who was made incredibly prominent by a lot of the COVID controversy was Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida, who really was guided by the data. I remember I talked to Ron. It was July of 2021, and he was walking me through the data as to why he was pushing back against the mandates, why he was opening up everything, why everything had been open for a long time, especially 2020. It was June of 2020, so before the vaccines even. And he was talking about how he didn't think lockdowns were effective, and he was citing chapter and verse in terms of the studies. He stood against a media that's made him the villain. Andrew Cuomo was the hero somehow. He was the villain, and he's reaping the benefit of that now. And I ask about the 2024 race in just 1 second, but first...
Noble Gold Investments has made it their mission to stay on top of the most important economic news. Three bank runs in less than a week. These are the second largest and third largest runs in history. The government is taking steps to guarantee all deposits. That means more money printing. Plus, the Fed is sitting on unrealized losses of $1.2 trillion on their $8.3 trillion bond portfolio. And the Fed will continue to raise interest rates even if they tank the economy. Do you know who are the only ones not afraid? The ones that are invested in gold with Noble Gold Investments. Gold is the most stable asset outside of any government control. Thousands have approached Noble Gold Investments to get their hands on gold. Hurry and go to NobleGoldInvestments.com to secure your wealth now. Use Ben as promo code. If you want to get a free 5-ounce America the Beautiful coin with each gold or silver IRA if you qualify. NobleGoldInvestments.com. NobleGoldInvestments.com. Individual results may vary. There's no guarantee that past performance will be indicative of future results. Invest wisely.
Alrighty, coming up more with Piers Morgan, this is the Ben Shapiro Show.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Piers Morgan and I did an interview a few weeks back on topics of the day. It's really fascinating. Here's what it sounded like. So let's talk about the 2024 presidential race. So you know Donald Trump, obviously. You've had, you know, a lot of talks with him. You've talked
maybe
about
maybe a celebrity
him.
Apprentice.
Yeah, correct.
A man of fine judgment.
So, you know, he's declared that, obviously, he is running again. It seems like his race so far is pretty lackluster. The polls show that he is still the top leading national candidate. There are some polls that have him trailing Governor DeSantis from Florida in particular states. A couple have him trailing nationally. How do you size up the race right now?
Well, I've been writing about DeSantis for a year now. I think he's definitely the one to watch. I definitely think he could end up being the Republican nominee and could end up being president. He's an incredibly impressive guy. If you look at his resume, you know, Yale and Harvard, you know, he was a sporting star. He then went to Fallujah in 2007, the year of the worst casualties for America, as special counsel to the head of SEAL Team 1. This is a man with an extraordinary back record, really. Which is why I think you look at him and you think this is a guy used to flak, right? He's just very calm under fire. Nothing seems to faze him. And he's bold and he's articulate and he has a good message which he pumps in a smart way. In many ways, he's Trumpian in policy, but without any of the baggage or the rhetoric or the tweeting or the sort of madness. And whilst that all worked for Trump first time round in 2016, I don't think it can work again when there's someone like DeSantis who can give you the good stuff without the bad stuff. But the Republicans have got to sort that out, because I think that Biden is sitting there basking in the unexpected glory of not being completely shellacked in the midterm elections, probably to his own surprise. Everybody assumed there'd be this massive red wave. It just never really materialized other than in Florida. So I think that it's very interesting to watch what Biden does. He might be waiting to see, does DeSantis get in the ring or not? Because if he doesn't and it's Trump, Biden might think, well, I can take down Trump. I did it last time, and actually the best way to get my base out is for Trump to run again. And he might well beat him again, actually. Different thing if it's a guy half your age. If, as Joe Biden is, you keep falling over on planes and you keep bumbling your words and forgetting who you are half the time. So if it's DeSantis v. Biden, Biden might well drop out, I think. If it's Trump v. Biden, Biden probably runs, is the way I look at it. But who knows? It's very unpredictable. It's been very unpredictable in America. It has been in the UK for a long time.
Yeah, when you look at Trump's campaign, it does feel a lot more lackluster. And my theory of why it feels lackluster, I mean, obviously, you know, certain things are no longer fresh. I mean, the sort of out-of-the-box authenticity of Trump, where he's just going to say whatever he's thinking on the toilet, and it's just going to come out. You're like, wow, that's something I've never seen any politician do ever. Usually for a reason, but, like, that's amazing, that people are actually being that open and authentic.
Yeah.
You know, that has grown a little bit old when it's all grievance-based, when it's all personal grievance-based. I actually think that this week Trump did the first good thing I've seen him do in his presidential campaign when he took a bunch of water over to East Palestine, Ohio. I think it's actually the first attempt he's made to sort of reconnect with the people who made him president in the first place.
He also has to stop whining about losing the 2020 election. Right? I've tried to tell him this to his face, on the phone, and whenever we've spoken. It's like, it's a complete lose thing. If you look at the midterm elections, most of the candidates that were Trump candidates who backed the stolen election lost. And most of them lost. It's a vote loser. It sounds whiny. It sounds looking back, not forward. Americans have been suffering from the pandemic, from a massive economic crisis. They want to know about the future. They don't want to keep hearing this guy bitching about losing an election in 2020. They don't care. Most people don't care. They've moved on to more important things in their life. And if Donald Trump can't leave that behind him, I don't think he has a chance.
Well, Pyrrhus, it's great to talk to you. As always, this is a blast. Thank you for stopping by. Really appreciate it.
Enjoyed it.
This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Following reports that former President Trump's polling higher than the current president, White House now playing the blame game in a 12-page report that blames former President Trump for the deadly and chaotic 2021 withdrawal of U.S. troops from Afghanistan, a withdrawal that occurred after Mr. Trump left office. Correspondent Ken Lorman has details.
The White House claims little responsibility for its own actions and asserts that Mr. Biden was severely constrained by decisions by former President Trump. It does acknowledge the evacuation of Americans and allies from Afghanistan should have started sooner. Mr. Trump responded by accusing the Biden administration of playing, quote, a new disinformation game to distract from their, quote, grossly incompetent surrender in Afghanistan. On a social media site, he said, quote, Biden is responsible, no one else. Ken Lorman reported.
Republicans in Congress have sharply criticized the Afghanistan withdrawal, focusing on the deaths of 13 service members in a suicide bombing. A federal judge is halting FDA approval of an abortion pill. Friday, Judge Matthew Kaczmarek issued a stay that will stop the prescription and distribution of it. It follows a pro-life group lawsuit that argued the FDA rushed approval of the drug and that the drug is unsafe. The government has 7 days to appeal to the Fifth Circuit Court. Democratic lawmakers want the Justice Department to investigate the Warner Brothers Discovery merger. Senators Elizabeth Warren, Joaquin Castro, and others say the company is harming workers and restricting choice for consumers. The letter accuses the merger of enabling the company to adopt potentially anti-competitive practices. Vice President Kamala Harris is going to meet with two black Tennessee lawmakers. They were expelled for breaking House rules and leading gun violence protests on the House floor in Nashville. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Some scary moments Friday afternoon at the Masters in Augusta, Georgia.
Two large pine trees fell near some golf fans as storms rolled through the area, and another tree fell elsewhere on the property, though no one was hurt. That as the second round of the Masters ground to a halt. The course had already been cleared once when the first band of storms came through. The air horn sounded again at 4:22 local time, as another storm arrived, bringing heavy rains and lightning. This time, two enormous pines fell near the 17th tee box, sending the patrons scattering. Jason Walker reporting.
Medical jobs dominate the top 10 best-paying careers list. Physicians who specialize in one area top the list by the Hill. They're followed by psychiatrists, family and general practitioners, oral surgeons, orthodontists, and nurse anestheticians. All average salaries of $200,000 a year. News and analysis at townhall.com. Salmon fishing season is closed along much of the West Coast.
The move comes after near-record low numbers of the fish returned to California's rivers in 2022. The Pacific Fishery Management Council approved the closure for all commercial and most recreational fishing of the fish, also known as Chinook, along the coast from Cape Falcon in northern Oregon to the California-Mexico border. Limited recreational salmon fishing will be allowed off southern Oregon in the fall. Biologists say the Chinook salmon population has declined dramatically after years of drought. John Scott reporting.
Easter weekend gas prices are up. AAA reports the national average price for regulars $3.58 a gallon, 3 cents higher than yesterday, 17 cents higher than a month ago. The least expensive gas nationwide is in Mississippi. It's $3.10 a gallon, and California drivers are paying the most, $4.86 a gallon. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Are you ready for the biggest and best week-long event of the year? Cool April Nights is back and better than ever. April 21st through 30th, Cool April Nights is the perfect opportunity to showcase your classic cars. Pre-registration is open now at CoolAprilNights.com. Classic cars, live entertainment, cornhole tournament, drive-in movie, and so much more at this year's Cool April Nights. For a full lineup of events and to pre-register, go to CoolAprilNights.com. That's CoolAprilNights.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hey, welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. It's time to stand up against big tech. Protect your data at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. So we do a show here over at the Ben Shapiro Show. It is called the Ben Shapiro Show Sunday Special, in which we interview some of the most famous folks on planet Earth. We did an interview with Piers Morgan, who is now on Sky News, formerly of CNN. You'll recall Piers and I had a bit of a tete-a-tete back in 2013. It made both of us slightly more famous. Well, he and I sat down together. We're pretty friendly now. It's kind of a fascinating conversation. Here's some of it. Piers, great to see you again.
Good to see you.
Okay, so why don't we just jump in with the thing everyone wants to hear from you about, which is, of course, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle.
Do we have to?
We have to. It is a moral obligation to talk about Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. So I have to say that your takes originally on Prince Harry and Meghan Markle were apparently very controversial. I thought they were good at the time, but those things have aged like fine wine.
Because if you remember, my exact phrase that apparently was so problematic was, I wouldn't believe Meghan Markle if she read me a weather report. And that has really stood the test of time.
So for folks who don't understand like how that even materialized in the first place, you have sort of an insider view on who Meghan Markle is. Mm. And the reason that she's relevant is for two reasons. One, because she really will not just leave and take the privacy she so desperately apparently wants. And she just won't take it. That's one reason. The other is that she is sort of emblematic of both a woke generation and an attention-seeking generation. She is kind of the TikTok generation, but kind of morphed into one human being. And so when people look at her, there's some people in the United States still who are kind of warm to her claims of victimhood and this idea that she's being very emotionally open. And there are other people looking at her and like, this is the most bratty person I've ever seen in my entire life. But you have some actual personal experiences that led up to
it. I knew her a bit before she met Harry, and she seemed perfectly normal, albeit like most LA actresses I'd met, but she seemed fine, you know, perfectly normal. There was a weird series of events. One was the wedding, where she suddenly fell out spectacularly with her father, who we now know had brought her up on his own for quite a few years, actually. And she sort of disowned him, and it all seemed a bit sort of brutal and weird because he was just a guy out of his depth, couldn't handle the media, he was being bothered by paparazzi. Eventually did a deal with one of them where he would pose for good pictures of himself, and that was it. So that was all going on. And we were thinking, well, hang on, this is a bit weird. And then in the months and months after the wedding, you suddenly saw the pair of them morph from a beloved couple. I mean, they were. You know, when they got married, it was a huge celebration in the UK. £32 million worth of taxpayer money was spent, and nobody begrudged them. She was the first biracial bride in the royal family. That was a big moment for a very multicultural country like the UK. And all the headlines were pretty euphoric, actually. Contrary to the narrative they're now trying to make people in America think about what was happening. But then over the next few months, just a series of, well, you could call them missteps, or you could call them classic examples of brazen woke hypocrisy. Two people wanting to position themselves, for example, as eco-warriors. You know, we want you to all watch your carbon footprint. They would say this in speeches. And then they'd catch Elton John's private plane like a taxi service. Or she would preach about poverty in a tweet from their royal Twitter account on the same day she had a $500,000 baby shower in New York here with a bunch of celebrities and flew back on Amal Clooney's plane. And so this went on, and it was one after another. And because of the hypocrisy element, the British media in particular were very critical, very scathing. Saying, hang on a second, you don't get all the palaces and the servants and the privileged life for this, right? You have to toe the line. You have to do the job, which involves often quite dreary duty as a member of the royal family. But you get to be one of the biggest stars in the world on the global stage in return. She, in particular, didn't seem to understand this. She thought that actually being a member of the royal family was wearing a tiara, getting a fabulous wedding, and then doing what the hell you like. So they began to just do a load of stuff which annoyed people. And they got the criticism, in my estimation, they thoroughly deserved. And at that point, they developed this victim narrative that they were terrible victims of this brutal, racist British media and the horrible British people who were all turning on them for no reason. But it really wasn't like that. And so over time, Harry's inbuilt hatred of the media, which goes back to when his mother died, and I knew his mother very well, that all began to blow up again, as did his resentment of his family and the fact that William, his older brother, is the heir to the throne and he isn't. So William will be king, Harry won't. And then you put it all together and then you get Megxit, where they leave the country, they leave the royal family, and they wanted to have their royal cake and eat it. They wanted to stay half in, half out, do the good stuff, get all the trinkets, make all the money out of it, but not have to do any of the duty. And that was where you get to the place of the kind of chasm between them as a royal renegade family and the monarchy and the British royal family left behind. And now you have them doing a Netflix series about their life, incredibly self-intrusive, the most gossipy royal book that's ever been published, including accounts of Harry's conversations with his father and his brother at Prince Philip's funeral service. I mean, quite extraordinary. And you just see a pair of people earning a ton of money purely by trading off trashing their family and trashing the institution of the monarchy, which afforded them their royal titles, which make them the money. And to your point in the question, they've come to kind of encapsulate that mentality of the woke brigade, this sense of entitlement, self-righteousness. We're right, you're wrong. We don't have to play by our own rules. Only you have to. And it's all pretty grubby and tawdry. And they've now ended up as a South Park, you know, mock-a-thon, which has got us all rolling in the aisles and probably reflects where they've now got themselves, which is they're a global laughingstock.
So one of the things that Prince Harry's been hanging his hat on in terms of his critique has been, as you mentioned, the media. Uh-huh. And for Americans who don't follow the media over in Britain, I'm one of them. I didn't spend a lot of time with the British media, as evident from my obviously amazing interview with Andrew Neil, where I had no clue who he was. Why don't you introduce us to sort of the British media scene? Because it is a very rough and tumble place in a way that I don't think that the American media is quite the same kind of beast.
I'm not so sure. I think what's different about America is you don't have the volume of national newspapers all concentrated in quite a small geographic space. So, you know, you can drive through Texas in the time it would take you to drive from one end of the UK to the other, and you still have time to spare. So to put the size perspective out there, that's the difference. So you have state newspapers, you have city newspapers, town newspapers, you've got a few national papers, but not as many. We have like 12, 13 national newspapers all scrapping for the same 60-odd million inhabitants of the United Kingdom. So it's a bit more intense, I would say, is the main difference. I think when it comes to the royals, the media are the royals' best friend and their toughest critics. We're their best friend collectively, because without the media oxygen, this royal family and monarchy would go the same way of most other European monarchies. They would just disappear into oblivion. They need the support of the people. The people's support is reflected through the media. It's a connection between the three things, the public and the royal family and the media, and all three basically fuel each other. So I felt that Harry's view of the media was completely clouded by the death of his mother. I completely understand that. I've always said that. His mother was killed by a drunk driver in a French tunnel, not by the paparazzi, who were more than 1,000 yards behind them when it happened. They didn't cause the accident. But his mother was constantly pursued by the paparazzi, and he saw this, and he blames the paparazzi for killing his mother, and therefore he blames the media, even though they weren't British paparazzi, actually. So he has this fixated hatred of the British media. Everything is the media's fault. And when you watch the interviews he gave with his book, it was almost comical. You know, when they both went on Oprah Winfrey and accused the royal family directly of being racist, we all saw them do it. They basically said a member of the royal family expressed concern about the skin color of their baby. That's an allegation of racism. I mean, inarguably. And yet, 2 years later, Harry promoting his book, he didn't put it in the book, this incredible revelation, which caused so much damage. And he then said, well, we didn't say they were racist. It was the media, British media, British tabloids, completely deluded. Obviously, it was from him and his wife on global television. So there's a delusion there. I think he's not the brightest bulb in the tulip patch, Harry, to put it politely. I think she is very manipulative. Meghan Markle is someone who's basically got rid of almost her entire family on her side, apart from her mother, her entire family on the father's side, including her father, which is incredibly sad. And now she's wrestled Harry away from his family. So how happy they really are in this mansion in California, when they have no connection now with any of their family, bar one or two people, I find it very hard to believe that makes anybody happy. So it's at one level it's sad. Another level it makes me quite angry, the damage they've caused to the monarchy. I think most British people are sick and tired of them. The polling has them now below Prince Andrew, which I didn't think would be humanly possible. So, you know, it's a mess. And you've got the coronation coming. It should be an enormous moment in British history, because we haven't had a coronation in my lifetime. The Queen, of course, reigned for over 70 years. So it should be a moment of great celebration. But what's going to happen if these two are there with their Netflix cameras in tow? It's going to be just another part of the Meghan and Harry circus. So a lot of anger back home about this. Interesting to be in America again and feel the reaction to the South Park mockumentary, because it's clear that they're losing a lot of support here as well.
We'll get to more on this in just one moment. First, as Jews in Ukraine are celebrating Passover once again, the threat of war is still a harsh reality. Many of those are elderly Jews and Holocaust survivors who fled their homes and now find themselves seeking a place to live without food or water. They're in desperate need of life's basic necessities. The International Fellowship of Christians and Jews has been in Ukraine every day since the war began. The fellowship's partners and volunteers are on the ground right now. They need your help today to reach even more Jewish people with life-saving foods. The people of Ukraine can celebrate Passover with dignity and devotion. In fact, the need for Passover meals even today has reached levels never seen before by the International Fellowship of Christian and Jews. You can help out today with a gift of just $25. You'll help provide one Jew with a Passover food box that includes matzah and other special Passover food. Today, we have a special matching challenge opportunity. Your gift will double in impact. A $25 gift becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. You see how the math works? Go to benforthefellowship.org or call 800-331-3737 to make a gift of just $25 to the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews to help rush a Passover food box to Ukraine today. That's benforthefellowship.org. Russia, Passover food box today.
So you mentioned Prince Harry in terms of personality and him not being particularly bright and being kind of vapid, actually. And that was pretty evident from his book. Any man who writes about facial cream and his todger, again, a word I have to admit, I know a lot of words. I did not know that word until
it's
I
read it. It's a very posh British phrase for a man's genitalia.
Well, how dare you say that? First of all, a man's genitalia. That, I mean, that's a whole other subject. Maybe a woman's genitalia.
Let's not even get into a man's genitalia.
Right, but well, first of all, yes, agree. But you know, this raises a question that I get a lot when I'm covering politics, and that is people are constantly, when they watch politics, assuming that if something goes wrong or if something is bad, that the reason that that's happening is because of malice. That it's because there is somebody who is ill-motivated, who's attempting to put one over on them. Or there's a cadre of people who are extremely competent and evil who are attempting to do something. And so something bad happens, and their first move is, who is this cadre of evil people that we can go after and blame for the thing? What you said about Prince Harry rings true to me, not just about Prince Harry, but it rings true for, I would say, 85% of the people who are in politics. Mm. Many people are just incredibly stupid.
Yes.
And this tends to burst the bubble of a lot of people who watch politics, because we like to believe that the people who lead us have some semblance of IQ and actually can rub two neurons together. But it turns out that many of them cannot. You've been covering politics a lot longer than I have.
Well, certainly in British politics, for example, Boris Johnson became prime minister. Now, Boris Johnson is a bumbling buffoon, if you look at him. I mean, he doesn't even brush his hair. He has this ridiculous voice. But underneath it is quite a sharp brain. But I once interviewed him for GQ magazine. years ago. And I said to him, he was then planning to become London mayor. And I said, Boris, you know, people always say to me, oh, Boris Johnson, he's a buffoon. But I always defend you. So that underneath the buffoon exterior lies quite a smart, calculating political brain. And he said, well, it's very kind of you, Piers. He said, but you must consider the possibility that lurking beneath the buffoon exterior is an actual buffoon. and he may not have been joking. But I think that, yeah, look, I think the reality in Britain, I'm not quite sure how it works on the pay structure in America, other than to run for president is very expensive. So it immediately rules out vast swathes of the people. In Britain, we pay our politicians a meager amount of money comparative. You know, to be a top politician, you might get $100,000 a year. You and I know that is not enough to attract high caliber people unless they really see political life as an absolute vocation. They're not doing it for the money. And it also encourages, of course, people to be then corrupt. Because if you're earning very, very little money, but you have access to power, then that is the lethal cocktail, where the temptation is there, you don't have money yourself, you can make it by being corrupt. So that, I think, is always a self-defeating thing. I would personally pay politicians in Britain three or four times what they're being paid. It wouldn't be popular in the short term with the public, but you would attract a higher caliber of person to be political figures. I think most of the politicians I've met in British sides, certainly in the last 10 years, have been shockingly mediocre. I mean, just on an intellectual level, incredibly lame. Just not very bright people. You know, the tulip patch is bare, to continue the analogy. In America, I think there's probably a slightly higher standard, but, you know, not much. I mean, I don't think you look at the American cabinet like you do the British cabinet and think, these are the brightest people in the country. You think these are the people dumb enough to actually want to do this, because the media scrutiny is intense, drives a lot of people away from it. And it's a tough, hard job, and the rewards aren't great. You know, unless you actually end up in the White House, the rewards just aren't great. So I think the system itself doesn't lend itself, either in this country or in my country, to attracting the best people. When, if you think about it, that's really bad, because what you want in a democratic society is that the people in power are actually the brightest people in the country, making the decisions that affect everybody else. So it seems to me you have a sort of far too much mediocrity, not enough great talent, and the victim of that is the populace, that then has decisions taken that affect their lives directly by people who aren't very competent.
We'll get to more on that in just a second, but first.
Noble Gold Investments has made it their mission to stay on top of the most important economic news. Three bank runs in less than a week. These are the second largest and third largest runs in history. The government is taking steps to guarantee all deposits. That means more money printing. Plus, the Fed is sitting on unrealized losses of $1.2 trillion on their $8.3 trillion bond portfolio. And the Fed will continue to raise interest rates even if they tank the economy. Do you know who are the only ones not afraid? The ones that are invested in gold with Noble Gold Investments. Gold is the most stable asset outside of any government control. Thousands have approached Noble Gold Investments to get their hands on gold. Hurry and go to NobleGoldInvestments.com to secure your wealth now. Use Ben as promo code. If you want to get a free 5-ounce America the Beautiful coin with each gold or silver IRA if you qualify. NobleGoldInvestments.com. NobleGoldInvestments.com. Individual results may vary. There's no guarantee that past performance will be indicative of future results. Invest wisely.
Alrighty, coming up, more with Piers Morgan. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Here's a little jingle from the Thule Kids.
You can play it, you can pause it, you can skip it, you can stop it with a hop. When the hop takes over your commercial, on hop with the hop. Where the apps are the coolest and the music is the smoothest with the hop.
Thank you for calling BNT Satellite at 241-3474. That's 241-DISH.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley. Are you missing Newsmax? Call me, because I make TV easy and I can get it back for you. My phone number is 241-3474. In case you didn't hear that, that's 530-241-3474. Or visit us at 1007 Dana Drive, Redding, California. Check us out on the internet at btsatellite.com. Shasta County's only DISH Premier retailer. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hey, Redding, what's better than an ooey gooey cheesy sandwich? How about five different ooey gooey cheesy sandwiches? Black Bear Diner just launched their limited time ooey gooey cheesy choices that'll cover you for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Come on in and try one of those delicious sandwiches today.
Black Bear Diner.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
A minimum order may be required.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So Piers Morgan and I did an interview a few weeks back on topics of the day. It's really fascinating. Here's what it sounded like. I want to take a step back here and have you explain to me the current state of British politics, because I look at this from afar and I have, you know, sort of baseline level knowledge of British politics and British political history. I cannot for the life of me understand what is going on. Meaning,
let me explain to you that the central fulcrum of everything was Brexit. So David Cameron was prime minister. He'd been prime minister for quite a few years. He was kind of mediocre, but chugged along, and everyone was like fine with him. He was like, he wasn't an inflammatory guy. He was quite charming personally. He spoke well. He was eloquent and so on. But then under pressure from the right wing of his party, he suddenly decided to capitulate and allow a referendum on whether Britain should stay in the European Union. And I voted against it. I thought it was a crazy thing to do. I think there's a strength in numbers, and I think the United States of Europe, if you like, is far more powerful together than it would be individually. But my side lost, and the Leave vote won, led by Nigel Farage and other characters like that. And I respected that result. I respect democracy. That was the will of the people. You know, nearly 17 million people voted for this. It was an enormous vote. The whole election, or the referendum, was enormous. But it was incredibly divisive. It was like Trump being made president here. It split the country in two and made it very visceral. Then you have the explosion of social media, which is compounding the tribalism on both sides, and it all gets very fractious. And the Conservative Party then had to try and make this work, which has proven to be incredibly difficult because Brexit actually doesn't really work. So it sounds good. You get your freedom, your autonomy from the rest of Europe, blah, blah, blah. But in reality, it's painful and expensive and people are fed up with it already. Doesn't mean it won't work, but it means at the moment we're now 7 years after that referendum took place and there's no sign of it working. So eventually the clock's going to tick and people will realize we shouldn't have done this, I think. But the Conservative Party went on a sort of weird journey of leaders who were either completely incompetent, shockingly mediocre. So we had Theresa May, who was pretty awful. Then Boris Johnson, who was a buffoon, who didn't think rules applied to him, very Trump-like in his way he went about his leadership. During COVID, he was having lots of parties allowed in his Downing Street home. He says most without his knowledge, but certainly for one, he was fined by the police for knowing about it whilst dictating the rest of us had to be locked down and so on. So he then got bounced out over a slew of scandals, really, and was replaced by Liz Truss, who came in out of nowhere, really, and said, right, here's what we're going to do to fix everything. I know it's a terrible financial climate at the moment. I know we're coming out of a pandemic that's been ruinous for the economy. But what we're going to do is slash taxes, and that's going to lead to enormous growth immediately, and we're all going to be fine. It was like this fairy godmother had come along to sprinkle a bit of dust. And of course, it all sounded great, right? Who doesn't want to see taxes slashed? The trouble was she had no way of paying for it and didn't say how she paid for it. So when she did this, the markets tanked, the pound tanked against the dollar to a record low, and she had to resign after 44 days. The Daily Star tabloid newspaper actually had a lettuce, and they put the lettuce there and said, we'll see who lasts longest. The lettuce outlived Liz Truss in the last 10 days, which gives you some idea of the farce and also how ridiculous the whole thing was. And then she got replaced by the person she'd beaten in the previous leadership campaign, Rishi Sunak, former Goldman Sachs guy, knows the economy, very serious. He had predicted everything that would happen if she won, and it happened. So it's been a farcical ride, really, but the fulcrum at the start of it, for all of this chaos, was Brexit.
All righty, coming up more with Piers Morgan, this is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Betsy has a scratch.
Who has a what?
Betsy, my car. She has a big old scratch on her side. Honey, I've had her since college.
I know, honey. Take her to Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. It's going to be okay. Remember, that's where you told me to take my car because they do minor and major auto body repair and full paint jobs. And it looks like she could use one.
Crossroads Auto Body Repair.
You know they do free estimates. Call 530-226-0992. Write it down.
Got it. 530-226-0992.
Winter weather is upon us, when snow and ice and wind and rain can stir up dirt and grime on the roadways, impacting visibility and vehicle performance. So when the wash can't wait, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading, featuring car wash packages starting at only $9. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
You're listening to KCNR Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming live at KCNR1460.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? All have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-222-12642 or online at homecomfort.org, and they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Signs, signs, signs. That's right, Wonderland Signs has your signs. Big signs, we do them. Vehicle wraps, we do them. If it's a sign, we do them. Vinyl, paint, 3D murals, big, little, inside, outside, every sign you could want.
I'm sorry, Bob. Could we sign a monster truck reek? Could you do that again?
When you need sign work, Wonderland Signs is the one. Featuring the highest quality materials, longest warranties in the area, all at competitive prices. Wonderland Signs quality can't and won't be beat. From vinyl architectural to banners to magnetics, from 3D to vehicle wraps to sandblasted to murals. If it's a visual message you want to send, we can deliver. Plus, being that we are fully licensed, bonded, and insured contractors, we can install them and other sign shops can't. We even offer financing on many sign types. Check us out online at WonderlandSigns.com or come by the shop on South Market and meet the Wonderland Signs staff.
Mention this ad and get 50% off any pair of magnetic signs.
Wonderland Signs, now celebrating 33 years in business in the North State with amazing attention to detail and quality service. Wonderland Signs.
This is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So we do a show here at Daily Wire. It is called the Ben Shapiro Show Sunday Special. Well, a few Sundays back, I had the opportunity to sit down with Piers Morgan. Here's what that sounded like. Right. So the reason that I was confused about all of this is because I look at the Conservative Party in Britain, which is sort of a more moderate version of the Republican Party in the United States in a lot of different ways. And I don't see a lot of sort of unifying principles inside the Conservative Party. So
no.
You had Boris Johnson, who's a big spender, who was an environmentalist, like a very green leader, somebody who was socially left-wing. Mm. Right, so how was that wildly different from many of the people he was opposing? And then you saw Liz Truss come in, and she proposed what is, by most accounts, a fairly conservative political program. I'm of the belief that the Bank of England essentially purposefully tanked her prime ministership because they certainly could have held it up for another couple of weeks, but they decided not to. They would prefer to allow the bond market to
be. Well, they kind of freaked when the markets freaked because the problem was she just went so early. She hadn't costed it out. She didn't say, here's how we pay for this. And as you know, when markets see uncertainty, then they freak, right? So maybe the Bank of England could have done, but actually, I don't blame them because it was total carnage.
Well, in any case, I have a hard time seeing what exactly the Conservative Party stands for, and so you're starting to see this massive upswing for a Labour Party that was basically left for dead about 3 years ago when it was led by Jeremy Corbyn, who's an actual communist nutjob.
Yeah.
And now, of course, he's been supplanted by sort of a mystery figure, almost.
Keir Starmer, yeah.
Yeah, who
former head of the public prosecution, so a very smart lawyer, quite a dull guy. I mean, by common consent, he's not Mr. Charisma, but he's still
pushing from what I see some pretty strong anti-crime policies. He's talking about upping the police in rural areas.
Yeah, I mean, it's very hard now to distinguish between this Labour Party and the Conservative Party. Really. There's really not much difference between them. If you actually change their names and had them saying the same stuff, it wouldn't sound that different. The difference was Truss, who tried to be old-school conservative, but she invoked the spirit of Margaret Thatcher. But she did it, I think, historically incorrectly. Margaret Thatcher, when she first came into power, and she was leader, she won three elections, but when she first came in, she inherited a very difficult economy. And she actually increased some taxation to get the economy back onto a level keel. Then she cut income tax in particular significantly and became known as the big tax cutter. But she understood you've got to get the economy stable first. Liz Truss pretended to be Margaret Thatcher, but actually ideologically she just got her history wrong. Rishi Sunak realized this, and I think, well, therefore is probably the best person right now to try and guide us to a more even place. I interviewed him recently. He's a very smart guy, takes the job very seriously. You're not going to get him partying all night long and so on. But you're right. I mean, what is the heart of this Conservative Party? You wouldn't recognize it. You really wouldn't recognize it. You could really interview the head of the Labour Party and Rishi Sunak right now, and they wouldn't sound significantly different.
So looking at the political situation and looking at sort of the broader overall situation for Great Britain, what do you think are the biggest problems facing Great Britain? I mean, we see these sort of system-wide problems in the West.
Brexit is the biggest problem, which is in addition to all the other problems facing every other country. So every country was hit by the pandemic in varying degrees, depending on how they handled it. But Britain has got the slowest growing economy of any of the major European countries because of Brexit. So unfortunately, all roads really lead back to that. Other stuff has compounded it. The cost of living crisis, the energy crisis because of the Ukraine war, all these things have had an effect. Of course they have, but they're no different to any other country. The French have that. The Germans have that. The Spanish have that. The Italians have it. What distinguishes Britain in terms of its woeful economic performance comparative to most of those countries is Brexit and the fallout of this severance from the EU, which has turned out, by common consent, even for many people who voted to leave, so far to be a failure.
Okay, so talking about sort of the economic problems that are faced by Great Britain and also by the continent as a whole, you know, we basically, I think, in the West, been living in a dream factory for a long time. Globalization covered a lot of ills. It allowed us to outsource a lot of our problems. It allowed us to bring down costs while simultaneously spending oodles and oodles of money that actually don't exist. And now we're starting to see inflation, not starting, the last several years, raging out of control. It seems like we may be entering a bit of a, to use a British history, you know, phrase, a winter of discontent here for all of Europe and all for the United States as well. What do you see as sort of the economic future here?
I think the next year is going to be very difficult. It may not be quite as bad as some of the biggest doom-mongers feared. The main reason for that, though, is a situation which remains extremely flexible, which is the Ukraine war. So the energy pressure on energy prices has eased in the last few weeks and months because it looks like the Ukraine war is now in for a longer haul. It's not as unstable a situation as it seemed at the start, which created all the energy crisis. But it wouldn't take a lot, as we know, you know, if Putin was to suddenly use a tactical nuclear weapon, as he keeps threatening to, for example, what impact would that have on the global economy, on energy prices and so on? So I think it is actually a lot more unstable than people think. That's why I think you'll see the markets very schizophrenic. They're up and down, up and down, up and down. Nobody's really quite sure what to make of this. So I think it's very hard to predict. I mean, all the ones who are paid to predict these things have been made to look a bit stupid in the last few years. So I think it's hard to predict. But it really depends, I think, on certain big things from the UK point of view. One, can Brexit be made to work? And I think that's a massive if. There's no sign of it so far. Secondly, what will happen with Ukraine? Because that is really dictating a lot of the pressure which is on many countries now. Not the United States, actually, because you're not as dependent, of course, on energy as other countries. But look at Germany, who were warned repeatedly by Donald Trump to their face in video clips you can see online. You know, he warned them, your reliance on Russian energy is madness. And they all ignored him. And now, look, he was right.
Get some more on this in just one second. First, folks, if you own a small business, you know the value of time. So does Innovation Refunds. That's why they've made it easy, no matter how busy you are, to apply for the Employee Retention Credit. That's ERC. Go to GetRefunds.com to get started. In less than 8 minutes, you can see if your business qualifies for ERC assistance. Your business might be eligible for a payroll tax refund of up to $26,000 per employee kept on payroll during COVID-19. In other words, you may have overpaid your taxes. Innovation Refunds has already helped clients claim over $3 billion in payroll tax refunds through the ERC. They might be able to help your business as well. There's no upfront charge either. They're not going to get paid until the business gets its refund, so you really have nothing to lose. And until you get money, they're not going to see it on. Many businesses believe they won't qualify based on incomplete or outdated information. Don't let this opportunity pass you by because the payroll tax refund is only available for a limited amount of time. Head on over to GetRefunds.com. Again, that's GetRefunds.com, GetRefunds.com. It's been a rough several years for the economy. If you're a business owner, you've had to ride out that wave from the COVID lockdowns to the inflation of Joe Biden's era to the stagnation that's about to come. It's a rough time for everybody. This is why you should check out GetRefunds.com right now. Head on over to GetRefunds.com. Let's talk about COVID policy. Yes. So COVID policy obviously has been an area of tremendous controversy. It's been my opinion that, frankly, a lot of the institutions that promised that they were going to be able to actually handle things were blowing up data that they didn't actually have.
I agree.
Many of them were exaggerating the power of their ability to control this thing, that many of them were pushing things like mask mandates, which were wildly ineffective, that the promises that were made on behalf of the vaccine, well, I tend to be what would pass for moderate on the right side of the aisle these days. I believe that the vaccine was good for people who are elderly and obese to take. But I myself, I was 37 when I took the vaccine. And at the time, the reason that I took it is because it had been promoted by the federal government and by Pfizer that this thing was 99% effective in preventing transmission. And my parents were with us and they were above the age of 65. And so I figured, okay, well
a good friend of mine in his early 50s is still in a coma after, well, nearly 3 years now, because there was no vaccine and it would have saved his life. So I believe the vaccines worked. I think what didn't work was the certainty some of the data was put forward to the public about. And I'll give an example where I did a complete U-turn, which I had no problem talking about or admitting, because I was too self-righteous in believing the scientific data. So when they said, for example, that if you don't have the vaccine, you can transmit the virus, but if you do have it, you can't, I believe them. And because I believe them, because they were so emphatic that that was the case, that if you got the jab, you couldn't transmit it, I then got very censorious about people who didn't have the jab. Very censorious. And there are tweets of mine which I've left up, and I get reminded of them regularly, and quite rightly, because I believed the science, and the science was wrong. And because I believed the science and then got too emotionally overwrought by all this, I was saying, well, then the people should be punished if they don't have the vaccine. Obviously, I don't think that now, because once it was established that that was wrong, once it was established if you had the vaccine, it made little difference to your ability to transmit the virus as to whether you didn't, then it becomes a matter of personal choice. But it wasn't when I was being censorious, but it taught me a lesson. In these health crises in particular, don't be too censorious because you can't be certain they're right. So actually, I wish I had been more critical of the scientists than I was. I wish I had. It doesn't mean to say I would become an anti-vaxxer, because I believe the vaccines were incredibly effective and saved millions of lives. And I will always believe that. And I think most scientists agree with that. But it does mean that, you know, for instance, masks at the start, the reason we were told the masks were ineffective and shouldn't be used was because they actually wanted to use them around the world for health care workers, right? So they didn't want the public running out and taking all the masks when there weren't enough to go around. That was the real reason. I think they lied to the people. They lied and said the masks are ineffective. Then they said the masks are incredibly effective. Now I see people wandering around New York outside wearing masks. I think they're nuts. Completely nuts. So there's people like, you know, it's like the Japanese soldiers, you know, 20 years later out of the World War II still wandering around saying, is it over yet? It's like, it's completely crazy. The pandemic has gone. It's now just another, I've had various family members have had COVID in the last 2-3 weeks. It's like getting a bad cold, right? So, but I learned a lesson. And I think it's an important lesson which I would now try and use to advise other people, which is, if it's scientific guidance in the middle of a really serious crisis, don't believe government modelers who might have a vested interest in wanting just to take the easy option, shutting everything down. If they are going to shut everything down, put huge pressure on those government bodies to make sure that people who have other things outside of COVID get properly taken care of. Because now the secondary wave of this pandemic are all the people who didn't get treatment for cancer and health disease and so on, which is, I think, disgraceful and should never have happened. But also be able to look at yourself on any side of this. And I would say anti-vaxxers, you think the whole vaccine thing was a scam and, you know, you can get your brain chipped by Bill Gates. I mean, all that stuff, lunacy. So I'm not talking about the lunatic fringes of this debate. I'm just talking about the way I behaved, I think, was wrong. I think I shouldn't have been so censorious, because now I can realize the stuff I was being censorious about, I gained my self-righteousness from false information. And I'm not afraid to admit that.
Oh, no, listen, I
actually think it's quite powerful to admit that and to say I was wrong. And so when people say to me on Twitter all day long, as they do, you know, well, there you go, blah, 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 fine. But if you were one of the anti-vaxxers who really are anti-vaccines, full stop, I don't want to hear from you either. So I'm talking really about the more moderate people who quite rightly were more skeptical than I was about things like transmission, because they were right and I was wrong.
Yeah, so I have many of the same issues. Obviously, I encourage people to take the vaccine in the very early days, rooted in the transmission stuff.
Right.
And the one thing I never was in favor of were the mandates, specifically because, oddly enough, the data they were pushing at the time led me to be anti-mandate, because there are two things they were pushing. One, that it was 99.99% effective in preventing death and serious disease, and two, it was 99.99% effective in preventing transmission. Well, if the first is true, then you don't have to worry about the transmission right. So much, meaning anybody who wants to get vaxxed can get vaxxed. But it is kind of amazing how the scientific community blew itself out in terms of credibility by making exorbitant claims about the vaccine. Today, they'll still make exorbitant claims about the vaccine. I mean, the CDC is now adding to the vax schedule for small children the COVID vaccine. And one thing that we knew,
ridiculous.
It's insane. I mean, from the very earliest days of the pandemic, we knew this thing was not killing kids.
Yeah.
And yet this is now being promoted by the CDC still. And then if you doubt it, then you get censored on YouTube.
Yeah, listen, I think that's really true. And I think that the early, I give some leeway for the fact it was a novel virus. It was pretty terrifying. When you see someone like Lombardi in Italy collapsing, and they had, Italy has the second best healthcare system in Europe, when you saw that happening and thousands of people dying every day, it was terrifying. And there were no therapeutic treatments at the time. There was no vaccine. We didn't think you may ever get a vaccine. There'd never been one for a coronavirus. So it was pretty scary times. I mean, we forget what it was like in those first few months. So I do give political leaders and the science and health officials a little bit of leeway. Where you get less tolerant is as it's gone on, and they've carried on, I think, being the way that you just described. I think that's completely indefensible. I also have a massive problem with people like Anthony Fauci, but just he seems to spend all his time doing television interviews and magazine covers and receiving awards. Mate, you've got one job, right? This is, you are the head of infectious disease, whatever it is, whatever your title is. Just make sure that you save as many lives as possible. But don't turn yourself into some weird COVID celebrity. He seems totally addicted to the fame part of it. And I thought that was wrong. In fact, I think that's wrong. Another lesson from the pandemic, there have been many lessons from it. One is don't trust all the science. But also, public officials in the health side should just stay away from cameras, I think. It didn't add to anything. It made things worse.
Well, there's a Fauci rule that I have, which is never trust someone with authority who has a giant portrait of himself in a magazine photo shoot of him. That's always a terrible sign as to what's about to happen. Well, this does raise the question of the 2024 race, because one of the people who was made incredibly prominent by a lot of the COVID controversy was Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida, who really was guided by the data. I remember I talked to Ron. It was July of 2021, and he was walking me through the data as to why he was pushing back against the mandates, why he was opening up everything, why everything had been open for a long time. It was actually 2020. It was June of 2020, so before the vaccines even. And he was talking about how he didn't think lockdowns were effective, and he was citing chapter and verse in terms of the studies. He stood against a media that's made him the villain. Andrew Cuomo was the hero somehow. He was the villain, and he's reaping the benefit of that now. And I ask you about the 2024 race in just one second, but first...
Noble Gold Investments has made it their mission to stay on top of the most important economic news. Three bank runs in less than a week. These are the second largest and third largest runs in history. The government is taking steps to guarantee all deposits. That means more money printing. Plus, the Fed is sitting on unrealized losses of $1.2 trillion on their $8.3 trillion bond portfolio. And the Fed will continue to raise interest rates even if they tank the economy. Do you know who are the only ones not afraid? The ones that are invested in gold with Noble Gold Investments. Gold is the most stable asset outside of any government control. Thousands have approached Noble Gold Investments to get their hands on gold. Hurry and go to NobleGoldInvestments.com to secure your wealth now. Use Ben as promo code. If you want to get a free 5-ounce America the Beautiful coin with each gold or silver IRA if you qualify, NobleGoldInvestments.com. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Individual results may vary. There's no guarantee that past performance will be indicative of future results. Invest wisely.
Alrighty, coming up more with Piers Morgan, this is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Fire and Destruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicholas & Company, 244-7199.
Attention all hunting enthusiasts. Don't miss the 29th annual banquet for the Reading Chapter of the Safari Club International taking place at 5 p.m. at the Wind River Resort Center on April 29th. This year's event promises to be bigger and better than ever, featuring an exciting auction with amazing prizes such as hunting trips, guns, equipment, and artwork. And that's not all. There'll be games and a drawing for even more chances to win. For more information and to get your tickets, go to scireading.org. We'll see you there.
Turtle Bay's 31st Annual Spring Plant Sale features heirloom vegetables, hard-to-find perennials, shrubs, trees, California natives, and much more, specializing in drought-tolerant plants that thrive in Redding's climate. The 30% off members-only sale is Friday, April 7th, from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m., and the 20% off public sale is Saturday, April 8th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Turtle Bay's McConnell Arboretum and Botanical Gardens Nursery. Turtle Bay's Spring Plant Sale. Learn more at turtlebaynursery.org.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So Piers Morgan and I did an interview a few weeks back on topics of the day. It's really fascinating. Here's what it sounded like. So let's talk about the 2024 presidential race. So you know Donald Trump, obviously. You've had, you know, a lot of talks with him. You've talked
maybe
about
maybe Celebrity
him.
Apprentice.
Yeah, correct.
A man of fine judgment.
So, you know, he's declared that, obviously, he is running again. It seems like his race so far is pretty lackluster. The polls show that he is still the top leading national candidate. There are some polls that have him trailing Governor DeSantis from Florida in particular states. A couple have him trailing nationally. How do you size up the race right now?
Well, I've been writing about DeSantis for a year now. I think he's definitely the one to watch. I definitely think he could end up being the Republican nominee and could end up being president. He's an incredibly impressive guy. If you look at his resume, you know, Yale and Harvard, you know, he was a sporting star. He then went to Fallujah in 2007, the year of the worst casualties for America, as special counsel to the head of SEAL Team 1. This is a man with an extraordinary back record, really. Which is why I think you look at him and you think this is a guy used to flak, right? He's just very calm under fire. Nothing seems to faze him. And he's bold and he's articulate and he has a good message which he pumps in a smart way. In many ways, he's Trumpian in policy, but without any of the baggage or the rhetoric or the tweeting or the sort of madness. And whilst that all worked for Trump first time round in 2016, I don't think it can work again when there's someone like DeSantis who can give you the good stuff without the bad stuff. But the Republicans have got to sort that out, because I think that Biden is sitting there basking in the unexpected glory of not being completely shellacked in the midterm elections, probably to his own surprise. Everybody assumed there'd be this massive red wave. It just never really materialized other than in Florida. So I think that it's very interesting to watch what Biden does. He might be waiting to see, does DeSantis get in the ring or not? Because if he doesn't and it's Trump, Biden might think, well, I can take down Trump. I did it last time, and actually the best way to get my base out is for Trump to run again. And he might well beat him again, actually. Different thing if it's a guy half your age. If, as Joe Biden is, you keep falling over on planes and you keep bumbling your words and forgetting who you are half the time. So if it's DeSantis v. Biden, Biden might well drop out, I think. If it's Trump v. Biden, Biden probably runs, is the way I look at it. But who knows? It's very unpredictable. It's been very unpredictable in America. It has been in the UK for a long time.
Yeah, when you look at that Trump's campaign, it does feel a lot more lackluster. And my theory of why it feels lackluster, I mean, obviously, you know, certain things are no longer fresh. I mean, the sort of out-of-the-box authenticity of Trump, where he's just going to say whatever he's thinking on the toilet, and it's just going to come out. You're like, wow, that's something I've never seen any politician do ever. Usually for a reason, but, like, that's amazing that people are actually being that open and authentic.
Yeah.
You know, that has grown a little bit old when it's all grievance-based, when it's all personal grievance-based. I actually think that this week Trump did the first good thing I've seen him do in his presidential campaign when he took a bunch of water over to East Palestine, yes. Ohio. I think it's actually the first attempt he's made to sort of reconnect with the people who made him president in the first place.
He also has to stop whining about losing the 2020 election. Right? I've tried to tell him this to his face, on the phone, and whenever we've spoken. It's like, it's a complete lose thing. If you look at the midterm elections, most of the candidates that were Trump candidates who backed the stolen election lost. And most of them lost. It's a vote loser. It sounds whiny. It sounds looking back, not forward. Americans have been suffering from the pandemic, from a massive economic crisis. They want to know about the future. They don't want to keep hearing this guy bitching about losing an election in 2020. They don't care. Most people don't care. They've moved on to more important things in their life. And if Donald Trump can't leave that behind him, I don't think he has a chance.
Well, Piers, it's great to talk to you. As always, this is a blast. Thank you for stopping by. Really appreciate it.
Enjoyed it.
This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. There are reports of an active shooter on the University of Oklahoma campus. The university tweeted there was an active shooter at the Van Fleet Oval and to take immediate action. A large police presence currently on the scene investigating. Russia is charging Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovitz with espionage. He was detained at the end of last month for allegedly collecting state secrets about the Russian military-industrial complex. The reporter denied the charges and said he was working as a journalist. Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg is hitting back at House GOP members over a subpoena for a former prosecutor involved in his case against former President Trump.
Responding to the subpoena issued by House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan from Ohio, Bragg wrote on Twitter that Republicans are trying to undermine the active criminal case against Trump through, quote, an unprecedented campaign of harassment and intimidation. The DA dismissed House Republicans' actions in relation to the case as, quote, an abuse of power. On Thursday, Congressman Jordan subpoenaed Mark Pomerantz, a former prosecutor in the Manhattan District Attorney's Office who led the Trump investigation before resigning over disagreements with Bragg. Edwin Mora, Washington.
The entire DA's office has been divided over the Trump case. Samsung Electronics is cutting the production of its computer memory chips. It's an apparent effort to reduce inventory.
The South Korean technology giant disclosed the move while forecasting another quarter of sluggish profit. The company said in a regulatory filing that it's been reducing production by unspecified meaningful levels to optimize its manufacturing operations. It added that it has sufficient supplies of chips to meet fluctuations in demand.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Execution's 11 p.m., but he's trying to convince us he's gone insane.
Therefore, incapable of being executed.
On April 14th.
Edward?
I'm not Edward. I'm a demon.
In the vein of C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters.
I think it's time to tell you what it is that we'd like you to do.
Comes Nefarious. Rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent. In theaters April 14th.
As the tax filing deadline fast approaches, the IRS is vowing to provide better customer service and conduct more audits due to a massive increase in its budget, compliments of Democrats. More on the story from Jackie Quinn.
The IRS is outlining how it plans to use an $80 billion cash infusion. Critics have suggested the money could go for creating a mob of armed auditors who would harass middle-class taxpayers. So the new IRS Commissioner Daniel Werfel explains the IRS will invest in better technology, hire more customer service representatives, and expand its ability to audit high-wealth taxpayers. Officials vow they will not raise audit rates on small businesses or households that make less than $400,000 a year. I'm Jackie Quinn.
News and analysis at townhall.com. An Afghan radio station run by women resumes its broadcast. This after officials shut it down for a week for playing music during the holy month of Ramadan.
The director for information and culture in Badakhshan says the station is now allowed to resume activities after it had obeyed the laws and regulations of the Islamic Emirate and agreed to stop broadcasting any kind of music. Sadeh Banawan, which means women's voice in Dari, was launched 10 years ago in the province and is Afghanistan's only women-run radio station. The Afghan Journalist Safety Committee, a watchdog organization that promotes the safety of journalists and press freedom, and which was involved in mediation for the station's reopening, has welcomed the resumption of broadcasts. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
The Masters suspends play for the day Friday due to inclement weather. It resumes Saturday morning. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, an emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Today on the Matt Walsh Show, a violent mob of trans activists assaulted and harassed a campus speaker last night. They even chased her into a room and held her against her will. This happened on the same day that news broke of another trans terrorist who had planned attacks on schools and churches. Trans terrorism is becoming a major problem in our country. We need to talk about it. And a new study shows a rapid rise of ADHD among adult women. It's also rising in all other age groups as well. Is that because of some kind of mysterious mental illness going around, or could there be another explanation? We'll talk about all that and much more today from Matt Walsh Show. It is sometimes said by some on the right that the fight to protect women's sports and to defend the privacy and safety of women in their locker rooms and bathrooms must be fought primarily by the women themselves, or only by the women themselves. You know, if they're not going to defend their own spaces, then there's nothing the rest of us can do, the logic goes. But I've always felt that this line of thinking is a pathetic cop-out. I mean, it's something said by people who are trying to excuse their own inaction. It's the rationalization of cowards. Yes, women need to speak up. Yes, it's true that not enough of them are. But it's not the primary responsibility of young women in college and high school girls to beat back the march of gender ideology. Okay, that cannot fall on them to do. We can't leave them alone on the front lines, because this is what happens when we do that. Postmillennial reports, quote, on Thursday night, swimmer and women's sports advocate Riley Gaines was assaulted by radical trans activists during a Turning Point USA event at San Francisco State University. After allegedly being physically assaulted by a protester while she was escorted to a safe room, protesters followed Gaines and continued to harass her. Quote, the prisoners are running the asylum at SFSU, Gaines wrote on Twitter, along with footage of the incident. This is proof that women need sex-protected spaces. Still only further assures me I'm doing something right. When they want you silent, speak louder. I'm okay currently, but an hour and a half later, I'm still barricaded in a room with ambushers on the outside yelling and threatening violence, Gaines told the Post-Millennial. As police escorted me out of the event space to my current location, I was hit physically twice by what I presume was a male individual. This only assures me I'm doing the right thing. Indeed, it should. You know, you can't ask for a more profound confirmation of the righteousness of your cause than to be chased off of a college campus by a crazed pack of screaming leftist zombies. And that's exactly what happened to Riley Gaines. Footage captured amid the chaos shows Riley running down the hallway while being chased by this violent, screeching mob. Watch. Now, this is what Riley gets for taking the provocative position that men are not women and shouldn't be allowed to disrobe in front of women in their locker rooms or compete against them in their sports leagues. Okay, so if you're a woman and you say, no, I don't want a man disrobing in front of me, this is how you'll be treated. She's defending logic and human decency in its most basic form. And for that, these people want to kill her. This is what any young woman who speaks up will face. Is it any wonder why so many choose to stay silent? Like, there aren't that many people who are willing to potentially deal with something like that. And that's men, women, it doesn't matter, you know, if you're a man or woman, it doesn't matter what age you are. Most people are not willing to put themselves in that position. In fact, most of the people who say, well, it's up to the women to stand up, most of the people saying that would never put themselves in that position. They don't have the guts to do it. Riley's ordeal wasn't over. The mob stayed outside the room, refusing to let her leave. The student newspaper, the Golden Gate Express, captured video of the mob discussing what to do next. And this, again, is why Riley's barricaded inside of a room, and they're outside the room, and listen to what they're saying.
And what we're hoping to do is to keep things peaceful. And
make her lose her pride!
And move forward, okay?
Yeah, no, tell her to pay us. Tell her to pay us and then she can go. $10 each. Because she probably got paid for this, so we could get paid for it too.
On a public campus that we attend.
Make her pay us, he said. So they are holding a young woman against her will and demanding payment. Okay? That's not just unlawful detainment. That's straight up kidnapping, legally speaking. That's a felony. You actually are not allowed to do that according to the law. I don't know if you knew that, but you can't gang up as a mob and keep somebody barricaded in a room with the implicit or direct threat of violence. Riley should pursue criminal charges against every student in that hallway, every single one. Every single one should be expelled and arrested. Anyone who happened to be standing in that hallway and was on the side of the mob, all of them should have their lives destroyed. That's where we are. Okay, that's what we should be advocating for. All of the students in the hallway should have their lives destroyed because of this. This doesn't stop until that becomes the consequence. She needs to sue the school as well. And I would be happy, and I've already said this on Twitter, I'd be happy to give her money to help fund that effort because the school needs to be sued also. They allowed this to happen. They put her in this position. Those students were outside of the hallway for apparently over an hour or more. They weren't escorted out. What the hell are the police doing? What are campus security? What's anyone doing? They're allowing them to stand there. You've got a mob of people who just chased this woman into a room and are refusing to let her leave. And the cops are just standing around like, oh, well, what are we going to do about it? So I'll help in any way I can. Everyone responsible needs to pay for this, and they need to pay dearly for it. I'll have more to say on this in just a minute after a word from our sponsor.
This is an important notice to consumers facing $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or other unsecured debt. You may not be required to pay it all back. because there are special programs now in effect that will significantly reduce the amount you will owe if you qualify. This is not bankruptcy or a debt consolidation loan. These programs, which the credit card companies like to keep secret, exist to aid American consumers struggling with overwhelming credit card debt by offering tremendous savings and real debt relief. Accredited Debt Relief has established a special hotline for you to call and learn what savings you qualify for. They've helped qualify consumers with over $1 billion in debt and are A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau. So don't wait. Get the relief you need during these hard economic times. For this free information, call the Accredited Debt Relief Hotline now. Call 800-626-0055. 800-626-0055. That's 800-626-0055.
As it happens, this attack occurred only a few hours after news first dropped of another potential trans-terrorism attack that was thwarted by police at the last minute. The Daily Wire reports, quote, law enforcement officials in Colorado have arrested a transgender individual with a communist manifesto for allegedly planning mass shootings at schools and churches in the area. News of the arrest was made public on Thursday afternoon, but the arrest happened on March 31st, just a few days after a transgender terrorist massacred six people, including three children, at a private Christian school in Nashville. The individual, who the Daily Wire is not naming due to the company policy about not giving notoriety to mass killers or those who allegedly aspire to commit such atrocities, is a biological male who goes by a different female name and uses she, her pronouns. The 19-year-old was charged with criminal attempt to commit murder in the first degree, two counts, criminal mischief, menacing, and interference with staff, faculty, or students of educational institutions. The suspect allegedly targeted Timberview Middle School, Prairie Hills Elementary, Pine Creek High School, and other targets were churches, KRDO reported. A family member turned the suspect into police, telling 911 that they had threatened to shoot up schools and had severe anger issues. A spokesperson for the 18th Judicial District Attorney's Office told local media that the suspect was in the process of transitioning. Police said the home had trash piled up all around the house to where it made it hard to walk, and that there were numerous containers filled with half-eaten food with mold growing inside and numerous alcoholic beverage containers laying around the house. The suspect also allegedly punched holes in the wall inside the house and ripped the door off the hinges. Okay, so this was a severely disturbed person, living in filth and squalor, prone to violent rage. Yet his doctors, despite the fact that he's a general mess of a human being and obviously deeply troubled, still apparently took his gender identity, quote-unquote, seriously, which is how he was able to begin his transition. Yes, everything else about this guy is bizarre and disordered. But when he says he's really a woman, well, now that is obviously a lucid and sober insight into his own true nature. But once again, a gender transition, which is supposed to make somebody happy and fulfilled and just make their lives better, utterly failed. Rather than being happy and fulfilled, he was homicidal. Fortunately, this trans terrorist was foiled before he could carry out his plans, unlike the one here in Nashville. But we're still left with two planned trans terrorism attacks, one prevented, one not, in the span of 2 weeks. Two of them. And in between the Covenant attack and the news of this other attempted massacre, we've seen trans mobs storm state capitol buildings, assault peaceful counter-protesters, topped off by a violent mob accosting a campus speaker and holding her hostage. And this is the trans violence that we've seen in just 2 weeks. All while the government, at the highest level, does everything it can to pour gasoline on the fire. Here's the latest with that.
This has been one of the worst weeks of 2023 so far in terms of anti-LGBTQ bills becoming law in states across America. According to the Human Rights Campaign, more than 50% of transgender youth in the U.S., which is estimated to be more than 150,000 kids, live in states in which transgender youth have lost access to or at risk of losing access to gender-affirming care. Look, this is awful news. Let's be very clear about that. LGBTQI plus kids are resilient. They are fierce. They fight back. They're not going anywhere. And we have their back. This administration has their back. We are so proud of the kids across this country who have organized protests and school walkouts to tell the politicians in their states to stop this legislative bullying.
You got to keep fighting. This is also it was a really, really hard, a hard couple of weeks for trans people. I mean, you know, you got trans people assaulting and killing people, but it's a really hard week for them. Now, these the White House and the Democrats, they know what they're doing. They know what they're encouraging. Democrats look at what happened to Riley last night, and their only regret is that she made it out alive. They wish that she was dead. And that's what we have to understand. The left knows that it cannot intellectually defend its position on this topic, not because they're too stupid to defend it. I mean, many of them are stupid, but because it's impossible to defend. The whole ideology is nothing but unintelligible gibberish, and they know that. And they see what happens when anybody on their side attempts to defend it. I mean, they see, for example, what happened to the people who tried to challenge me at New Mexico State University this week, and they see how embarrassing it is for them, and they become all the more enraged and humiliated. And so they're left with a choice, right? They can surrender the issue. They can admit they were wrong. They can admit that this is all nonsense. Or they can push their agenda through by other means. Those are really their only options. Give up on trans ideology completely. You can do that. Or you can assault, harass, intimidate, and kill your opponents. We know which one they'll choose and have chosen. Trans activists, they want us dead. They believe they have the moral right to kill us. The only thing that could stop them from doing it is fear of punishment. But the system is on their side, egging them on. And if none of the students who assaulted and kidnapped Riley Gaines are held accountable, that will be the final confirmation that they need, that they can do whatever they want, up to and including the commission of violent felonies, all captured on film. From there, all bets are off. Which brings me back to what I said at the top. We cannot leave it to a small collection of very brave young women to fight this out. This is a fight that involves all of us. And men, in my view, should be on the front lines, just as men should be on the front lines of any battle. If we leave the opponents of this ideology alone and isolated, they will be easy targets. So we all need to stand up. None of us belong on the sidelines. We're all called to the fight. We'll have more in just a minute after a quick word from our sponsors.
Noble Gold Investments has made it their mission to stay on top of the most important economic news. 3 bank runs in less than a week. These are the second largest and third largest runs in history. The government is taking steps to guarantee all deposits. That means more money printing. Plus, the Fed is sitting on unrealized losses of $1.2 trillion on their $8.3 trillion bond portfolio. And the Fed will continue to raise interest rates even if they tank the economy. Do you know who are the only ones not afraid? The ones that are invested in gold with Noble Gold Investments. Gold is the most stable asset outside of any government control. Thousands have approached Noble Gold Investments to get their hands on gold. Hurry and go to NobleGoldInvestments.com to secure your wealth now. Use Matt as promo code. If you want to get a free 5-ounce America the Beautiful coin with each gold or silver IRA if you qualify. NobleGoldInvestments.com. NobleGoldInvestments.com. Individual results may vary. There's no guarantee that past performance will be indicative of future results. Invest wisely.
Next up, Caitlyn Jenner is now crusading against Nike for being too woke, but Jenner is not exactly the voice we really need right now, and I'll explain why after the break.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
The Red Bluff Roundup is on April 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. Get your tickets now. $250,000 is up for grabs for 600 of the toughest cowboys in town. It's the biggest three-day rodeo in the country. Tickets are on sale now, so grab the good seats while you can. It's consistent action with bucking horses, bulls, barrel racing, roping, wild pony riding, and more. Friday is brought to you by Food Max and Outback Contractor. Gates open at 5, rodeo at 7. fun and an after party with live music. Saturday brought to you by Sierra Pacific Windows and Red Bluff Guy. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 2:30, and an evening concert by country music star Jackson D. And Sunday is Haleakala and Dignity Health St. Elizabeth Hospital Tough Enough to Wear Pink Day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 1:30. Get your tickets now at the Red Bluff office or online at redbluffroundup.com.
The City of Redding cares about clean, affordable transportation. Redding Electric Utilities' new income-qualified electric vehicle voucher program reduces the purchase or lease price on eligible new or used electric vehicles by $3,000. Fuel prices are on the rise, but RU rates remain low. EV drivers pay the equivalent of about $1.10 per gallon versus the paid price at the pump by gas vehicle drivers. Find out if you qualify at cityofredding.org/rebate and enjoy fuel savings in an EV that fits your lifestyle. Funding is limited, so don't wait. Apply now.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
And we're back with the Matt Walsh Show. All right, I wanted to read this to you as well. Caitlyn Jenner slammed Nike for turning woke Thursday over its partnership with trans TikTok star Dylan Mulvaney, 7 years after her quote, I'm reading from the article, this is the language they're using. 7 years after his own collaboration as a trans woman with a sportswear line. Jenner, who transitioned in 2015, called out the athletic wear company after Mulvaney unveiled the brand deal in a series of Instagram posts Wednesday, where he modeled Nike pants in a sports bra. Alert the media, I'm entering my workout era. Okay, so Jenner, who was recently named a Fox News contributor, called the brand partnership an outrage. As someone that grew up in awe of what Phil Knight did, it's a shame to see such an iconic American company go so woke. We can be inclusive, but not at the expense of the mass majority of people, and have some decency while being inclusive. This is an outrage. Jenner did not explain how Nike partnering with Mulvaney harmed the mass majority of people, but tweeted, "Stop trying to erase women," in all caps. You know, as I've said before with this, and there were conservatives that were sharing these tweets from Jenner and saying, "Amen, yes. Look, we have a trans person on our side." Jenner's position on this topic is totally incoherent. Okay? He is the worst possible advocate that you could turn to. He's the worst voice that you could amplify on this. Like, what exactly is your complaint, Jenner, with Nike doing a brand partnership with Dylan Mulvaney? What's your complaint? How is it going woke? Okay. The only complaint you could possibly have is that Dylan Mulvaney is not actually a woman, and they're celebrating him as if he is, and they're also having him model women's clothing when he's not actually a woman. That's the complaint. That's the only reason to oppose it. There's no other reason. If Dylan Mulvaney was a man who identified as a man, I mean, then it'd be a little bit strange that they're Nike sponsoring some random TikTok influencer, but it would not be an outrage. It wouldn't be erasing women. So the only reason to oppose it is that he's not actually a woman. And yet, that's not Jenner's position. Jenner believes that trans women are women. Jenner says that he's a woman. So it doesn't make any sense. It appears that Caitlyn Jenner's position is that his womanhood is valid because he says it is. But other people, if they declare themselves women, that's not valid. No, there's only two ways of looking at this. Either biology determines who's a woman or who isn't, or it's subjective and it's up to each individual. If Caitlyn Jenner sees himself as a woman and is declaring that he's a woman, well, then he is taking the latter option here. He's saying that it's subjective. Which means that you can't arbitrarily say that it doesn't apply to Dylan Mulvaney. It's totally incoherent. And also, look, Jenner, there's arguably no other trans-identified person alive today who has done more to normalize and mainstream transgenderism. I don't think there's anyone else you can point to who's done as much as Jenner has done. Because most of the rest of Dylan Mulvaney, most of the rest of the prominent trans-identified people and influencers you can name, you know, they came along later. They jumped on a bandwagon that was already well on its way. But how soon we forget, back in whenever it was, 2015, Bruce Jenner comes out as Caitlyn, declares himself a woman, is awarded Woman of the Year. And it was the first time that had been seen on such a mainstream visible level. It wasn't the beginning of the trans ideology, of gender ideology, but that is when it kind of burst into the mainstream. Jenner has never repudiated that, as far as I'm aware. He's never repudiated for that. He's never apologized for that. He's never come out and said, you know what, I shouldn't have been awarded Woman of the Year. I'm not actually a woman. That shouldn't have happened. He's never done that. He still wants to be seen as a woman, but he's going to decide arbitrarily which other trans-identified people get to be in the club. And then you have these dumb conservatives who think that you know, because he identifies as trans, it automatically makes him a powerful advocate. You see, we have a trans person on our side. We're not transphobes. You're the real transphobes. They still think that method, that strategy works. It doesn't. Coming up, Star Wars just proved once and again how much they hate you and they don't respect your intelligence at all. Talk about that next. Don't go anywhere.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month, starting at 8 a.m., for the Gorman Law Hour, featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour, starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Are you ready for the biggest and best week-long event of the year? Cool April Nights is back and better than ever. April 21st through 30th, Cool April Nights is the perfect opportunity to showcase your classic cars. Pre-registration is open now at coolaprilnights.com. Classic cars, live entertainment, cornhole tournament, drive-in movie, and so much more at this year's Cool April Nights. For a full lineup of events and to pre-register, go to coolaprilnights.com. That's coolaprilnights.com.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Are you ready for the biggest and best week-long event of the year? Cool April Nights is back and better than ever. April 21st through 30th, Cool April Nights is the perfect opportunity to showcase your classic cars. Pre-registration is open now at coolaprilnights.com. Classic cars, live entertainment, cornhole tournament, drive-in movie, and so much more at this year's Cool April Nights. For a full lineup of events and to pre-register, go to coolaprilnights.com. That's coolaprilnights.com.
Hey there, Marty Mosley here from Mosley Family Cellars. Mimi and I have moved our tasting room back downtown to the corner of Pine and Butte Street across from Corbett's and the Reading Chamber of Commerce. We're open Wednesdays through Sundays from 3 to 7 p.m. and Fridays till 9 p.m. While you're here, enjoy food from the Hearth Kitchen and Pie Shop and munch on some delicious handmade chocolates by Nanette de Chocolate. Come on down and enjoy life with us, Mosley Family Cellars at the historic Thompson House. Come as guests and leave as family.
Looking for a restaurant that offers quality and value? Look no further than Dry Creek Station on Highway 299 East in Bella Vista. Family owned and operated, Dry Creek Station has been serving up delicious steaks, seafood, chicken, soups, and salads since 1992. Don't miss their house-made clam chowder and live music Friday and Saturday night. And be sure to ask about their fantastic weekend specials. And the menu doesn't stop there. Come check out Dry Creek Station's new lunch menu, including their fabulous burger menu. Also grilled chicken breast, beef ribs, fish and chips, a salmon filet, and their popular lunch special, taco salad with your choice of steak, chicken, or prawns. They also offer kids' meals. Join us at the Dry Creek Station for lunch from noon to 4 or dinner from 5 to 9. Open Tuesday through Sunday with happy hour from 3 to 5. Come on down to the Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East of Bella Vista, where quality and value meet.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Starting March 12th, every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Flash Learn.
Thanks for listening to the Matt Walsh Show. All right, another story here. Daily Wire. The Mandalorian recently surprised fans with two cameo guest appearances, Lizzo and Jack Black. The two actors were featured in Wednesday's episode, Chapter 22, Guns for Hire. And so Lizzo and Jack Black appeared on the Disney Star Wars show. The clip of this episode, this scene with Lizzo, went viral, not for the reasons that Disney probably hoped, but let's just watch a little bit of this.
Despicable. If that isn't the Quarter calling the stiff thing slimy.
I beg your pardon.
This planet is unrecognizable since he arrived.
I had a feeling you hated me.
I'm disappointed in you, Commissioner. You served my family well. But Captain Bombardier is the love of my life, and I know his heart is true. Sure, he's made some mistakes in the past, but who here among us has not? Is there no room for a little bit of forgiveness in a galaxy so vast?
I am sorry to have disappointed you, my lady. Perhaps someday I can earn such forgiveness from your grace.
Perhaps. As for now, you must live in exile on the moon of Paraquat.
All right.
And as for you,
who's watching
Lady
this
Bo-Katan Kree?
Who's watching this? I saw this clip, and I had to double-check because I honestly first thought it was a skit. That was like an SNL skit or something. And then I verified, no, that's actually the show. Like, that's the show. That's what Disney is putting out. It has this cinematic quality of a furniture store commercial. Like, the guy who made the ad for Bill's Mattress Warehouse down the street from your house is a more skilled director and cinematographer than whoever's responsible for this utter dreck. And the actors in mattress commercials and car dealership commercials are better also than what you just saw there. But this is what we get, okay? This is what we get for mindlessly handing our money over to these studios who have been milking the same franchises for decades and just putting the same thing out over and over and over again. They aren't even trying anymore. They don't care. They hate. We already know that these studios hate you. They don't respect your intelligence. They think you're an idiot and will gobble up whatever they spew out. They know you're going to watch anyway because of the brand. That's all it is. And at this point, instead of watching the next Star Wars movie or show, you might as well sit for 2 hours in your living room staring at the Star Wars logo on your screen. You know, there's no point in watching the actual, because there's no story anymore. That doesn't matter. All of that is secondary. It's simply about the brand. You're watching a brand. And when you watch these shows and these films now, you're basking in the light and glory of a brand. And so you might as well. There's no reason to just... That's what Disney should do. The next Star Wars movie should be 2.5 hours of the Star Wars logo on the screen. Or maybe some guy, or maybe Lizzo, sitting on screen and just saying Star Wars over and over again. As a story, okay, and I've been trying to tell you this forever. As a story, Star Wars is over. As a brand, it's not. Because there are still these drones who will show up and no matter what. But as a story, it's over. There's nothing left. Okay. We got every ounce of story that could be milked out of this premise. It's gone now. All right. The udder is dry. It's all been milked. This cow is spent a long time ago. And of course, people will say, well, it's the Star Wars universe. There's so many other stories we could tell in the Star Wars universe. Well, as I am always saying, no, the Star Wars universe is over. But the actual universe? Yeah, the actual universe is limitless. There are a lot of stories you could tell in the universe. It doesn't have to be in the Star Wars universe. But don't let that stop you. These companies, they hate you, have no respect for you. They're not even trying to make quality content, but go ahead and keep consuming it, I guess. Why not? We'll get right back to this discussion after a word from our sponsors.
Enjoy cleaner, safer, and more private internet daily. Be more cyber zen. Catch the special deal now at NordVPN.com. With a few simple clicks, NordVPN will block online trackers and hide your virtual location. It will secure your devices from malware-infected downloads and block access to malicious websites. Enjoy internet without trackers. Internet without malicious websites. Internet without malware-ridden files. Imagine your data more secure. Your connection protected. Zen. Catch the special deal now at NordVPN.com. NordVPN. Cybersecurity built for every day.
And finally, major headline here, Babylon Bee. Matt Walsh jumps out of the bushes at Easter egg hunt to inform the kids that bunnies laying eggs is biologically impossible. Now, I appreciated this story. This is like, I think it's the fifth or sixth time I've been mocked ruthlessly by Babylon Bee, and which hurts my feelings deeply, of course, but I also appreciate it. But then my second question was, who tells their kids that the Easter bunny lays the eggs? Is that what people are being told? I didn't know. Here's the thing. I didn't know that this was the kind of falsehood I needed to correct. So that's the only thing that this story gets wrong, is that I wouldn't be going up to kids and say, well, you know, Easter bunny doesn't lay eggs, because I never knew that. Really, that's what you're telling? Is that what parents are telling kids? That the Easter bunny actually lays the eggs like a chicken? The Easter bunny thing has always been, you know, as you know, I'm a Santa Claus apologist. You know, I'm fully on board with the Santa Claus thing. Easter Bunny's always been a little too weird, a little too disturbing. Even when I was a kid, I always thought that. I was kind of like, my parents told me about this big giant bunny that shows up and, you know, leaves a basket somewhere, comes into the house and leaves. And I always had so many questions about this thing. Where does this thing come from? We don't have the same with Santa Claus. There's this whole mythology around it. We don't have that with Easter Bunny. So I've always thought it was kind of strange. I didn't know that kids were also being told that this mutant sorcerer Easter Bunny lays eggs. When I was a kid, I always thought that the Easter Bunny, he has the eggs and it's like in a basket and he hides them places. This story is getting even more disturbing than I thought. We'll be right back with more after a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Tens of thousands affected by the toxic water at Camp Lejeune are left with death, cancer, Parkinson's, dementia, birth defects, and other serious illnesses. And along with the harm, so many worries.
My family drank the Camp Lejeune water. What if our health gets worse and we need more financial help?
How do I protect my VA benefits and get the compensation I deserve and need?
The answer is simple. Call James Harris Law, the experienced, trusted law firm that can get you significant compensation while protecting all your VA benefits. We're already fighting for hundreds of Marines, families, and civilians who drank Camp Lejeune water. But if you miss the deadline, you could forever lose your right to the justice you deserve. So call our Camp Lejeune legal helpline now. Now may be your last chance to receive full compensation. Don't delay. Call 800-217-1155. That's 800-217-1155. 800-217-1155.
Next up, we'll be canceling ADHD. Not for the first time. Probably not for the last. Stay tuned.
Here's a little jingle from the Thule Kids.
You can play it, you can pause it, you can skip it, you can stop it with a hop. When the hop takes over your commercials, I'll hop with the hop. Where the apps are the coolest and the music is the smoothest with the hop. All the cats and chicks can get their kids with the hop. Let's go!
Thank you for calling B&T Satellite at 241-3474. That's 241-DISH.
Hi, this is Doug Thule. Are you missing Newsmax? Call me because I make TV easy and I can get it back for you. My phone number is 241-3474. In case you didn't hear that, that's 530-241-3474. Or visit us at 1007 Dana Drive, Redding, California. Check us out on the internet at btsatellite.com. Shasta County's only DISH Premier retailer. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Redding, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Redding at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
What's being hidden from us? About the COVID-19 scenario? About covert climate engineering operations that are wreaking havoc with weather all over the world? About the totality of unfolding and accelerating global environmental collapse? If you're willing to face and investigate shocking, verifiable realities that mainstream media sources and their distract and divide talking heads will never tell you, tune into the commercial-free, non-political Global Alert News Hour, Saturday at 11 a.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. Today for our daily cancellation, I have the exciting opportunity to jump back up onto one of my favorite soapboxes, as a new study published this week finds that ADHD is rising rapidly in our country, especially among women. New York Post has this report. The number of people diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, is climbing steadily in the U.S., especially among women, a new study found.
While cases have risen across all age groups, the spike has been most significant among women. The share of females between the ages of 23 and 49 years of age diagnosed with the disorder nearly doubled from 2020 to 2022. Since 2010, the rates of ADHD have tripled overall, the study found, but the share of patients taking prescribed medications for the disorder has remained consistent. Males have historically been more likely to be diagnosed with ADHD, but the study findings indicate that the gender gap has been closing over the past 12 years. Needless to say, this is an incredible milestone in the fight for social justice. Women have smashed through yet another glass ceiling. It's about time, if you ask me. Alleged mental illnesses should be shared and enjoyed equitably and fairly by both sexes. I believe that. That's what's best for society, and also, most importantly, it's what's best for Big Pharma. You know, drug companies, they should have the right to monetize the mental states of both men and women in equal measure, I say. The Post continues, previous studies have shown that females with ADHD tend to have very different symptoms than males, which could prevent them from getting evaluated and diagnosed. Data for ADHD tends to skew heavily towards school-age males. Dr. Joseph Galasso, a psychologist at Baker Street Behavioral Health in New Jersey, told Fox News Digital in a phone interview he was not involved in the new study. Girls tend to fly under the radar as their symptoms tend to be internalized. Boys tend to be more active with overt behaviors that lead to early diagnoses. On the other hand, he said, girls tend to fly under the radar as their symptoms tend to be internalized. Instead of hyperactivity, ADHD can look more like depression or anxiety in females, he added. More than 8 million American adults are thought to have ADHD, but some studies have shown that up to 80% of them are unaware that they have the disorder, per WebMD. 80% of people with ADHD don't know they have it. Think of all the people who are suffering in silence because of that. And by that, I mean all of the pharmaceutical executives who have been deprived of the opportunity to sell drugs to that large portion of the potential market. But it's not just adults who are seeing a rise in ADHD, obviously. The disorder, quote unquote, is, of course, especially prevalent among children. In the 1980s, back when ADHD, or ADD at the time, was first added to the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, was added in, I think, 1980. And during that decade, around 1 in 20 children were diagnosed. Today, that number is 1 in 9, and rising all the time. That means that more than 10% of all children in the country have been labeled with this alleged disorder. And the label's being stuck on kids at earlier and earlier ages. You know, we're now told that kids as young as 3 years old can be diagnosed ADHD. A decade ago, the American Academy of Pediatrics changed the medical guidelines to now recommend psychiatric drugs for kids starting at 4, potentially, if their symptoms are, quote, debilitating. A third of kids with ADHD are diagnosed before the age of 6. Kindergartners are being diagnosed and drugged. Teenagers are being diagnosed and drugged. Adults are being diagnosed and drugged. This epidemic has been sweeping the nation for decades and has only gotten exponentially worse as time goes on. More and more people are labeled mentally ill and put on methamphetamines. We increasingly become a nation of drug addicts. The pharmaceutical companies rake in billions and billions of dollars. Yet, we rarely stop to talk about any of this, really, or even ask the most basic questions about it. The psychiatric industry and the pharmaceutical industry have conspired to label entire categories of human behavior and human thought disordered. And they've assured us that the only way to fix the problem is through highly potent and addictive psychotropic drugs. Meanwhile, most of us who profess to have no faith in the pharmaceutical industry, we correctly observe that it's a multi-billion dollar behemoth with a vested financial interest in keeping us in this drugged out stupor. We know from our experience with COVID that these people will lie directly to our faces just to get us to put their product into our bodies. We realize all of that, and yet most of us still refuse to fundamentally question the basic premise behind concepts like ADHD and other alleged mental illnesses. So we might agree that it's overdiagnosed, but we're not willing to question the logic underlying the diagnosis. In fact, many people, again, many of whom otherwise have no faith in Big Pharma or claim that they don't, will lash out angrily at those of us who do question Big Pharma's fundamental claims about ADHD and similar alleged mental illnesses. We are, in other words, a culture with no faith in Big Pharma and yet also with unquestioned faith in Big Pharma. We can't make up our minds, and Big Pharma would say that our ambivalence on the topic is yet another symptom of ADHD. Fortunately, they have a drug for that. Now, let me offer, if I could, an alternative theory. Could it be that the ADHD diagnosis is skyrocketing with no signs of slowing down because the diagnosis was designed to be both incredibly vague and also universally applicable?
Now, to show you what I mean, here's a partial list of symptoms, quote unquote, of ADHD in children between the ages of 3 and 12. This is described by the Mayo Clinic. This is how they list it. Partial list. Fail to pay close attention to details or make careless mistakes in schoolwork. Have trouble staying focused in tasks or play. Appear not to listen even when spoken to directly. Be easily distracted. Fidget with or tap his or her hands or feet or squirm in the seat. Be on the go in constant motion. Talk too much. Have difficulty waiting for his or her turn. Interrupt or intrude on others' conversations, games, or activities. So, you know, what exactly is the problem with these symptoms? Well, not much, other than the fact that they describe literally every child who's ever lived on the planet. I have never in my life met a child who didn't fall into all or most of those categories. Okay? In fact, I'd be much more concerned about a child who doesn't exhibit these traits than a child who does. Of course, the ADHD apologist will assure you that although the symptoms certainly do sound like a list of the most common childhood behaviors and personality traits, it's actually much more nuanced because they'll point out that there are other diagnostic criteria. For example, a child is only diagnosed with ADHD if he exhibits these traits in more than one situation. So not just at school, but at home and at school. So if he acts like a normal child in two places, well, I mean, that's then clearly is ADHD. Also, if the symptoms are persistent. So the symptoms have to be observed for 6 months or more to warrant an official diagnosis. Okay. So if your child is fidgety and talks a lot for more than 6 months, ADHD. See, these nuances, quote unquote, do not at all change the fact that the symptoms of ADHD are merely descriptions of normal childhood characteristics. It is normal. And as you know, I say this as somebody with six kids. It is normal for a child to exhibit all of these behaviors and to exhibit them for years, let alone 6 months. It is normal for a child to be this way at home, to be this way at school, to be this way when you try to take them out to a restaurant, to be this way everywhere. It may not be convenient for parents or teachers. It may be a nuisance. It may be stressful to deal with sometimes. That doesn't make it a disease. And this is what the ADHD diagnosis is. It's our way of talking about and describing a set of behaviors and character traits that we find burdensome or inconvenient. That's what it is. And you notice that for all the people that say, oh, it's a valid medical diagnosis, just like having cancer or anything, it's just like any other medical condition. But yeah, well, what other medical condition, what valid physical medical condition is diagnosed this way? What other medical condition do they diagnose by looking at your behavior exclusively and then also trying to determine whether or not that behavior causes problems in certain environments? You know, if you are concerned that your child, has diabetes, they're not going to ask you questions about whether it causes problems at home or in school. They're going to run physical tests to see if they can find it. Oh, but you can find ADHD in brain scans, they say. Well, that's not true. And also, they don't do brain scans. Okay, if it was just, well, there's an ADHD brain and a regular brain, that's like, well, why don't they do brain scans to diagnose ADHD? Why don't they do that? What about ADHD in adults? The Mayo Clinic lists these symptoms: impulsiveness, disorganization, and problems prioritizing, poor time management skills, problems focusing on a task, trouble multitasking, excessive activity or restlessness, poor planning, low frustration tolerance, frequent mood swings, problems following through and completing tasks, hot temper, trouble coping with stress. Those are the symptoms. And these are all indeed difficult emotions and traits. I know from experience, but they are also very human and very normal. In fact, once again, it'd be a much greater concern if there was an adult who did not struggle, at least to some degree, with all of these things. A person who never loses his temper or becomes disorganized, that's not a person, that's a robot. Now, the pharmaceutical companies, they'll acknowledge this point, you know, that all of these symptoms are actually normal, but they'll declare that past a certain point, beyond a certain threshold, they become abnormal and diseased. Well, who decides where that point is? Who determines the threshold? When they say, oh yeah, everybody acts this way, but if you act this way too much, well, then it's a disease. Too much. Who says too much? But who decides that? It's just like we saw a symptom for kids is talks too much. Who the hell? Where is the medical criteria for too much talking? It sounds pretty subjective to me. By my standards, 95% of the planet talks too much. Oh, but I'm not a doctor, right? You have to get that. You have to get that. You have to go to medical school so that you can find out how much talking people should do. What? Who gets to draw the line declaring exactly how stressed out, how disorganized, how anxious, how distracted human beings are supposed to be? Well, just so happens, the people selling the drugs, they get to make that decision. The people prescribing the drugs, they get to make the decision. These are arbitrary lines drawn by the very people with a massive financial incentive to make sure that as many people as possible are over the line. Now, am I denying that lots of people in our culture today are overly distracted? No, not at all. I'm simply calling to question the idea that distraction is a medical condition. I especially call that into question given that there's another extremely obvious explanation. Why are people so distracted these days? Maybe it's because we live in a society filled with distraction. We are surrounded all the time with screens and flashing lights and noise. We carry little distraction machines in our pockets. We have conditioned ourselves to crave constant stimulation. Children are plopped in front of glowing screens, you know, from their first day on this earth so that they'll be less of a hassle to parents who also want to spend more time on their screens. Why are people constantly distracted? I mean, is that even a question? Is that a serious question? How could anyone look at our society, look at the way that we choose to live our lives, and come away with the conclusion that our attention spans are dwindling because of a mysterious mental illness epidemic? There is a much more obvious explanation. Okay. And you are staring at it right now. And that is why ADHD, as a medical diagnosis anyway, is once again today canceled. And that's all we have for today and this week. Thanks for listening. Talk to you tomorrow. Or rather on Monday. Godspeed.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Two U.S. District Court judges issue contrary rulings concerning the chemical abortion drug mifepristone. The first by a judge in Texas suspended the Food Drug Administration's longtime approval of that. Correspondent Lisa Dwyer reports.
The U.S. District Judge signed an injunction directing the FDA to stay the drug's approval while a lawsuit challenging the safety and approval continues. Federal regulators in 2000 authorized the drug in combination with a second pill, misoprostol. The Food and Drug Administration is expected to swiftly appeal.
Separately, a U.S. District Judge in Washington State ordered U.S. authorities to not make any changes that would restrict access to the drug in at least 17 states, where Democrats sued in an effort to protect availability. A Biden administration proposal to forbid outright bans on transgender athletes is sparking outrage not just from conservative leaders, but also from radical trans activists. The proposed rule would prohibit blanket bans like those that have been approved in at least 20 states, but it would still allow schools to adopt their own policies about school sports teams. The Israeli military carries out an airstrike on Hamas targets in southern Lebanon and the Gaza Strip. In Tel Aviv, one person was killed after a Muslim drove into a group of pedestrians.
Israel's military chief of staff says he was ordering the call-up of reservists with a particular emphasis on air defense. The airstrikes, carried out overnight in Lebanon, reportedly near the Palestinian refugee camp Atir, marked the end of Israel's response for the moment, according to a military spokesman. Dozens of rockets were fired overnight from Gaza in response to Israeli strikes there. And earlier today, two Israeli women were shot dead as they travelled in an Israeli car near the town of Hamra in the occupied West Bank.
More at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. I knew we could not put off getting life insurance. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $40 a month. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $18 a month.
Call SelectQuote at 1-800-940-6161 or go to SelectQuote.com now. That's 1-800-940-6161.
Full details on example policies at SelectQuote.com/commercials.
Wisconsin Republican Senator Ron Johnson says he ran for re-election last year so he could shed light on the damage done by mandatory COVID vaccines. Bob Agnew reports.
Senator Johnson says nobody else is sticking up for those injured by the vaccine and told Fox Business, quote, "These vaccine injuries are real, they're serious, they're not all that rare." Johnson openly defies pro-vaccine orthodoxy in claiming, as he did during his campaign, that the vaccine can be dangerous. He even says it's to blame for thousands of deaths. Should Republicans recapture the majority in 2024, Johnson says, as a committee chairman, he would be in a position to, in his words, uncover and expose the truth. Bob Agnew reporting.
Tennessee Republicans expelled two Democrat lawmakers from the state legislature for their role in a protest calling for more gun control on the House floor. County commissioners in each of the lawmakers' districts will now choose temporary replacements until a special election is held. News and analysis at townhall.com. Candy is being targeted in California.
A bill in the California legislature would ban five chemicals found in some of the most popular candy in the U.S. The bill by Assemblymaker Jesse Gabriel would ban chemicals found in candy like Skittles, Starburst, and Peeps. He said his goal is to not ban candy in California, but wants companies to use different ingredients to make the candy. Two of the ingredients, including red dye number 3, have been linked to cancer. The National Confectioners Association says there is no reason to ban the chemical because U.S. regulators say they are safe. John Scott report.
Trouble could be brewing in Florida. Authorities say the threat of major wildfires is growing following severe drought conditions. California salmon stock so depleted that fishery managers are canceling this year and next year's season. Fewer than 168,000 adult fall Chinook salmon are expected to return this year to the Sacramento River. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Trump's arrest was the big story of the week, and I saw that it gave all the cable news networks a massive spike in ratings. The anchors on CNN were so excited. They were like, wait, people can see me?
That was a really good one, wasn't it? That was. Those guys are funny. That's why they make like $16 million a year. Of course, really, I mean, it's the 22 writers they have that come up with those hilarious jokes that keep us all clutching our sides, slapping our knees. Hilarious, that guy. Well, you know, let's be honest. It's not really intended to be comedy. It's just Democrat Party propaganda everywhere you go. Speaking of Democrat Party propaganda everywhere you go, did you see the world-class college swimmer Riley Gaines? She's a woman by every definition of the word. And she showed up at a college, a university in California, to give a speech. And the Democrat Party organized a violent mob of mentally ill people, which it turns out is very, very easy for them. That's one of their areas. They, you know, spending lots and lots of other people's money and organizing mentally ill mobs of demented, usually sexually dysphoric people. And that's what we had yesterday. Turns out, I don't know if you've heard this screamed in your face by 100 mentally ill people, but trans rights are human rights. Have you heard that? That's trans rights are human rights. I think that might be the Joe Biden bumper sticker for 2024. It's pretty amazing. But Riley Gaines, she went to speak at a college, at a historically white university, and she was greeted by a violent mob of very severely mentally ill people. We generally just refer to them as Democrats. And I have audio for you. We had to bleep it very, very heavily. Very heavily. That's kind of like redacting. It's like the radio version of redacting a document, which the FBI is good at. You know, one of these days we're going to get the manifesto, because there was all trans rights. There was transgender. They're all pro-trans. They want women with penises and testicles to swim against women who are women, and to race as bicycle racers and track stars and weightlifters and golfers. The Democrats prefer... you know, they're all their favorite women are men. It's kind of a strange thing, but there it is. That's they think all the best women are men, and that men make the best women, whichever way you like to slice it. Ouch. Probably shouldn't use slice it in that context, should we? Pretty amazing stuff. The FBI still has the manifesto from the Nashville Christian School transgender massacre. And they said the local police had it, and they said, well, we're going to give it to the FBI because they have experts. And it was at that moment I said, yeah, it's going into that Raiders of the Lost Ark warehouse with the Kennedy assassination documents. And if the manifesto does not conform with the Democrat Party's weaselly, demented, mentally ill, gender dysphoric agenda, then we're not going to see it. We're not going to see it. And if it ever does come out, it will be redacted like the Soviet Union went through it. Just saying. Mm-mm-mm. Oh, yeah. You remember when Joe Biden, weeks ago now, said, yeah, let's declassify all of the documents on the origins of COVID-19 and the Wuhan Red Death and the Wuhan Institute of Virology and, blame it on the wet market guys. And those haven't been released either, because our government just lies all the time. Speaking of Cobble Kirby was out there yesterday. And Cobble Kirby, boy, he lies like nobody's business. He's a humdinger, that one. Turns out they're very proud of the massacre, the mayhem, the chaos, all the deaths, the suicide bombing, the people crushed in the wheel wells of the C-17 airplanes. The word that he used is proud. He said he's proud and they're proud. Which I think, you know, you'd probably be sued by the LGBTQ community, because that's their word. You can't be proud of the evacuation of Afghanistan unless it's a gay evacuation, in which case you can be proud of it. You got to have a set of an American flag, a rainbow flag, evacuating Afghanistan. But Cobble Kirby came out yesterday. He said they're proud of the way things went during the evacuation of Afghanistan. That's pretty amazing stuff. And asked about the chaos by the only reporter covering the White House, apparently Peter Ducey, and my friend James Rosen covers the White House for Newsmax as well. But they said they're proud of the way the evacuation went. And chaos? What chaos? I don't see no chaos. You see chaos? There's no chaos here. Let's get back to the Democrats being transgender, because this is completely nuts. There was another arrest, and it turns out it wasn't even yesterday, but we found out about it yesterday because they gave us the slow roll on it, because they've arrested a young man, by the name of William Whitworth, but he goes by,
Allie.
He goes by Allie, like Alley Cat, and, because he says he's a woman. And what is he, 19-year-old young man, old enough to be in the Marine Corps, but thank God he's not. And William Whitworth, who goes by Allie.
Sorry, Lily.
Oh, I apologize. It's Lily. It's like Lily Langtry. He goes by Lily. That's much better, because that's a flower. And the delicate flower, William Lily Whitworth, was arrested because he had bomb-making materials and guns, and he had blueprints of schools, and he was planning a mass murder of, you know, and this is in Colorado Springs, Colorado, where we had the Club Q gay nightclub massacre by another non-binary transgender killer who massacred, you remember, the big, strong U.S. Army major tackled the mass murdering transgender lunatic at Club Q and stopped him from murdering everybody in the place. And then we had the transgender lunatic in Nashville murder the 3 9-year-olds and the 3 adults at the Christian school in Nashville. And now we got another one, William Whitworth, who goes by Lily. Lily. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And arrested in Colorado Springs. And apparently it was the family that turned him in. Imagine that. That's a real good news, because that's what you're supposed to do when you're part of a family where your psychotic, mentally ill, transgender 19-year-old is piling up guns and explosive devices and drawing out plots and plans of schools and classrooms with a list of names of people that he's targeting while calling himself her and all this stuff. And I'm reading news account after news account yesterday, and they're all referring to him as she and her and sometimes they. Well, how many of them were there? Well, there was just the one. Huh? That's they use the words, but they don't know what they mean. It's pretty amazing. So, yeah, who is William Whitworth? Trans teen arrested over a school shooting plot. Here we go again, huh? I mean, this is a pretty small percentage of the population. And it's becoming a pretty large percentage of mass murdering psychotic killers. I made the analogy before, appropriately so. You know, when the Concorde airplane, the SST, supersonic transport, used to call it the SST, the Concorde, it was the safest plane. It had the safest aviation record of any plane in the air, because it didn't fly that much and there weren't that many of them. But they had no crashes. Then they had one crash of the Concorde, and suddenly it became the least safe plane in the world to fly in. That's a statistical thing, as everybody should be required to take statistics along with civics in high school, maybe grammar school. Instead of, you know, transgender twerking, they should take civics and statistics. But, you know, the Democrats are in charge, so the transgender twerking classes will continue until the mass shootings multiply. It's pretty amazing stuff. But now we're looking at a very minute segment of the population. I'm holding my index finger a quarter of an inch over my thumb. And a minute percentage of the population, and a growing number of horrifying mass murders and crazy plots and things. Somebody ought to, maybe 60 Minutes is working on a story on that. Just kidding. They're not. They're not. So we got that. And I'll get into that story, because here we go. Another trend. But I'm very happy to report that the mass murder was averted, and the bombs did not go off. The guns were not fired. The transgender, doubtless suicidal lunatic, you know, the National Institutes of Health report that 82% of people that identify as transgender have contemplated suicide, and at least 40% have actually attempted suicide. So if your son or daughter is going down this road, maybe you should intervene. And, you know, not on behalf of the transition, just saying. Pretty amazing stuff. Also, we played the audio. I think I want to play it again today. I hope I have time to get to this. This transgender medical doctor who grew up male and now says I'm female, and has performed surgeries on thousands of people, genital mutilation and so on, says that, well, you know, when you give the young boys puberty blockers, they will never have a normal sexual life. They will never know sexual pleasure. They will never have an orgasm. And that's what the Democrats are making more of. That's what I'm telling you. Man, oh, man. So we got that going. Also, here's what the news media is against, because they represent the mentally ill lobby in America, which is the most powerful lobby in America. It's not the oil industry. It's not the energy industry. It's not the military industrial complex. It's the transgender complex, which is really the Democrat Party. At least the Democrat Party is the pointy end of the spear on that. And that is, it is, I think, the most powerful lobby in America right now is the transgenderism industry. The trans industrial complex is what it's called. There's a story out of Maine, and this makes the Democrats really angry. A mother, that is an adult female human who has given birth by way of her birth canal and, you know, because of her ovaries and her womb and things, which is what women have and not men who say they're women. But Maine, a mother in Maine, says that the school is wrong to hide gender transition of children, like her son, who the school is apparently helping to say is they, them, and she, her, and is transitioning. And, you know, again, back to the puberty blockers, they will never have a normal sexual life. It is, there are many ways to destroy people, and the Democrats are expanding on all of them. They really are. My best girl and I were having lunch yesterday with each other. It was a joyous time. My wife is a woman, and I am a man. She's a womanly woman. I'm a manly man. And we were enjoying Asian food. It was Asian, the theme. It's from Asia. Not directly, you know, they make it here, because it'd take too long, even, you know, for, like, delivery. But, a dude walked by, dude looked like a lady, with, long hair, and it was pink, and hot pants, and it's like, that's a dude, and a goatee, because, you know, Lydia, have you seen Lydia? Lydia the tattooed lady, and pretty amazing stuff. So, boy, 6 years old, there's this other crazy story along the same lines. The main school, mom. Well, let me get to that, because that's an amazing story. Also, the Supreme Court yesterday, the United States Supreme Court will allow West Virginia trans student to play on girls sports teams for now. But that's really only because it's making its way through the lower courts, and the Supreme Court didn't want to jump the gun like Mother Superior and all that stuff. Yeah, but what do you hear? Riley Gaines, the championship swimmer, the reception that she got at San Diego State University by the Democrat Party lunatics. They're just insane, honestly. And Riley Gaines tweeted yesterday. She's got a Twitter. The prisoners are running the asylum at SFSU, San Francisco State University. I was ambushed and physically hit twice by a man. This is proof that women need sex-protected spaces. Really, you need protection from the Democrat Party is what you need, because the Democrat Party is erasing women. They're erasing women in the United States. Women are being erased from our culture, from our society, by the Democrat Party. And Joe Biden, he's not much of a man, never has been. That was that sexual assault on Tara Reid, of course, but still, she said, only further assures me I'm doing something right. When they want to silence, speak louder. She's great. A new TV show, they're remaking Grease. Remember Grease? You know, Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta, Grease, Wubba Dubba Dubba, and all that stuff. Well, they got a new one, but it's all transgender now. And it's not called Grease, it's called Lube. It's called Lube instead of Grease. And then this lunatic who, children have sexual desires at an early age. And the Democrats have a lot of adults that are eager to take advantage of that. This is what they're saying now. Pretty amazing stuff. The Supreme Court, Clarence Thomas, still under attack. And the Democrats are going to slow the rise of the oceans by wrecking stuff. I've got that coming up. Light bulbs and gas stoves and all kinds of things. The Tennessee Three. It's like the return of the Secaucus Seven. Two expelled. And it's apparently the end of democracy. And it's like the Civil War, the Associated Press says. So I'll get to that. Barack Obama's in the news today. Free speech on college campuses, AOC's hypocrisy, Hunter Biden is an artist, and more.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month. And that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE. 855-51-BIBLE.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor, every blank page is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better? Or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with tools and expertise to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. For advice on smart PCs powered by Intel vPro that's built for business, call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Wendy's $3 breakfast deal is a bacon or sausage egg croissant plus small seasoned potatoes for $3. It's the breakfast that don't miss. So if you did miss Wendy's breakfast, don't imagine. Fresh cracked eggs, sizzling sausage, crispy bacon, and block out those hot, buttery, flaky croissants. Croissants don't really make a sound, but if they did, for a breakfast that don't miss, Wendy's is that breakfast. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's $3 breakfast deal.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's. Select a request $3 breakfast deal to obtain discount. Not valid for a la carte combo orders.
Be more CyberZen. Get NordVPN. With a few simple clicks, NordVPN will block online trackers, secure your devices from malware-infected downloads, and block access to malicious websites. With NordVPN, enjoy internet without trackers, without malicious websites, without malware-ridden files. Be more CyberZen. Catch the special deal now at nordvpn.com.
Paralyzed Veterans of America believes the veterans who've served and sacrificed deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to homes, communities, meaningful employment, and the veterans' benefits they've earned. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at pva.org.
Message and data rates may apply.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now, and drive off as early as today. Just text APPLY NOW to 88909 right now to get started. That's APPLY NOW to 88909. Auto financing the easy way. Text APPLY NOW to 88909.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, DebtLou is here for you. With DebtLou's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at DebtLou are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
The National Press Club in Washington, which is where members of the national press in Washington go to club together. You know, they're clubbing. National Press Club put out a press release. A conversation with award-winning photographer Alex Brandon. Let's go, Brandon. And the Press Club's photography team is taking part in a lunchtime conversation with Associated Press photographer Alex Brandon. It's a Wednesday, April 26th at 12 noon. And everybody in the press is invited. And they say that he's one of the AP photo team to win a Pulitzer Prize for their compelling images captured nationwide in the aftermath of the George Floyd shooting in Minneapolis in May and June of 2020. I'm sorry, wait. George Floyd was shot? That's Ted Kennedy was shot. George Floyd was not shot, but this is the National Press Club. He died of a cardiac event. He had a lot of fentanyl and methamphetamine in his system. And one coroner analyzing the data said that if they had found him dead at home, they would have ruled it a fentanyl overdose. But never mind that. This is the National Press Club, the National Press Club header. And they want to discuss the George Floyd shooting, even though he wasn't shot, in Minneapolis in May and June. Really? He was shot in May and June of 2020? That's your news media. This is the apex of journalism in America, the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., blocks from the White House. And they're celebrating Let's Go Brandon for his photography of the George Floyd shooting. That is pretty amazing. Which happened in May and June of 2020. Wow. Did the bullet, was it like a slow motion bullet? Did it take a long time to get there? What happened there?
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Satisfy your cravings with Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading. Enjoy breakfast burritos from 9 a.m. to noon for only $6.99. And don't miss Taco Tuesday. Choose from chicken, beef, or ground beef tacos for only $2.25 each. Roliberto's Taco Shop also offers burritos, taco salads, and delicious combination plates, including two crispy tacos, a taco and enchilada, taco and tostada, carne asada, fajitas, and more at Roliberto's Taco Shop at 1701 California Street in downtown Reading. Mention you heard this ad on KCNR and receive a free taco between 6 and 9 p.m. Open Monday through Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 a.m. and Sundays, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Order through DoorDash for delivery or call 530-605-0724 for takeout or join us at Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Attention all hunting enthusiasts, don't miss the 29th annual banquet for the Redding chapter of the Safari Club International taking place at 5 p.m. at the Wind River Resort Center on April 29th. This year's event promises to be bigger and better than ever, featuring an exciting auction with amazing prizes such as hunting trips, guns, equipment, and artwork. And that's not all. There'll be games and a drawing for even more chances to win. For more information and to get your tickets, go to sciredding.org. We'll see you there.
The City of Redding cares about clean, affordable transportation. Redding Electric Utilities' new income-qualified electric vehicle voucher program reduces the purchase or lease price on eligible new or used electric vehicles by $3,000. Fuel prices are on the rise, but RU rates remain low. EV drivers pay the equivalent of about $1.10 per gallon versus the paid price at the pump by gas vehicle drivers. Find out if you qualify at cityofredding.org/rebates and enjoy fuel savings in an EV that fits your lifestyle. Funding is limited, so don't wait. Apply now.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Are you ready for the biggest and best week-long event of the year? Cool April Nights is back and better than ever. April 21st through 30th, Cool April Nights is the perfect opportunity to showcase your classic cars. Pre-registration is open now at CoolAprilNights.com. Classic cars, live entertainment, cornhole tournament, drive-in movie, and so much more at this year's Cool April Nights. For a full lineup of events and to pre-register, go to CoolAprilNights.com. That's CoolAprilNights.com.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency, when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
I've got a lot of stuff for you today from these crazy people, but know that today is National Beer Day. That rules out Anheuser-Busch's Queen of Beers, but it is National Beer Day. Maybe Yingling, which I still have in my refrigerator. Why is the Democrat Party struggling with their sexuality in such a violent and public way? And when did they become the sexually dysphoric, the gender dysphoric, become the most powerful lobby in the United States of America? Not the military-industrial complex, not the energy industry, not the pharmaceutical industry, not the beer industry, but the trans... industrial complex. The transgender industrial complex is the most powerful lobby. They've got our children by the throat. And I have some pieces of the George Orwell book 1984 for you as well. Or as Joe Biden calls it, 1984. He's going to say, because he's, you know. But, you know, the whole gender thing. Now, we, on Tuesday of this week, we played audio for you of this crazy woman who just had the most amazing things to say. And this is a woman who was a man, who's transgender, who's a medical doctor, who's performed thousands of surgeries, and one I just called the doctor because completely crazy. We also have a lot of audio for you on the disastrous, calamitous evacuation of Afghanistan, which the Democrats and the news media are now telling us it was great. There was no chaos, and it was wonderful. It really is like George Orwell's 1984. Now, let me start with a story out of Maine. The Associated Press has this story. We have the would-be mass murderer, school killer in Colorado Springs again, where there was already a transgender mass murder at Club Q, a gay nightclub, and now another attempted, fortunately thwarted, transgender 19-year-old plotting a mass murder at multiple schools with maps and plots and lists of names and guns and explosive devices, and stopped. That's good. Now, out of Maine, I mentioned this story out of Maine. School wrong to help hide gender transition, Maine mom. Now, you see, ABC News published the Associated Press story here. A Maine woman is suing a school district, saying a counselor encouraged her teen's social gender transition without consulting her. Now, they refer to mom as her, but you will notice during the course of this story, they never refer to the young woman as she or her because they want to defer to the child's brainwashing, and that's what happened here at the hands of radical left-wing gender dysphoric school officials. We call them officials now, like we're the Soviet Union. Portland, Maine, beautiful Portland, Maine, lovely place, is the dateline. The Associated Press has the story. A Maine woman is suing a school district whose counselor, they have one counselor, encouraged her teen, note they don't say teen daughter, encouraged her teen's social gender transition, whatever the hell that means. Because they've butchered the language to the point where none of this means anything. You have to, you know, get a team of forensic semanticists in here to sort out what they're trying to communicate. Providing a chest binder, oh, so I guess it's a young girl, and using new name and pronouns without consulting parents. So she's got a daughter, but the AP won't say this, right? So the woman has a young daughter at the school. She's a woman, a mother, all the requisite parts to accomplish that, you know, the propagation of the series and of the species and all that. And she has a daughter, and the daughter's at school. And the school counselor, who is doubtless a mental case, takes the young girl in and says, well, we can turn you into a boy and not tell your parents. We'll keep it a secret from your mom and from your parents. We'll get you a chest binder so you can pretend that you're not becoming a woman. And we'll use pronouns like, you know, he and him, they and their and them. And we'll keep it a secret from your parents. This woman should literally be in handcuffs and ankle shackles and be frog marched up the Capitol steps. But the honestly, the Democrats. This is the latest lawsuit to pit a parent's right to supervise their children's health and education, listen to this, against a minor's right to privacy when confiding in a mental health professional. So the counselor at the grammar school is a mental health professional. A similar lawsuit filed in California was working its way through the courts earlier this year. In Massachusetts, parents are suing a middle school for not telling them their two preteens were using different names and pronouns at school, but not at home. So, honestly, the federal lawsuit in Maine argues that the mother of the 13-year-old, again, they don't say girl, the 13-year-old student, quote, has a right to control and direct the care, custody, education, upbringing, and health care decisions of her children. Again, they don't say daughters. Or anything of the kind. And that Great Salt Bay Community School violated her constitutional right by keeping gender-affirming treatment from parents. It's gender-affirming. It's not affirming. It's corrupting. It's gender-corrupting. It's gender-butchering. It's mutilation. Honestly, you people ought to be in penitentiaries. Civil rights advocates have argued in other cases that schools must protect a student's privacy by including their gender identity and sexuality under federal law, and that counselors need to be able to keep conversations with students confidential if they want to maintain trust. They should be in handcuffs, be thrown into the back of a paddy wagon, and given a rough ride to a brutal county jail. Wow, that's just amazing. So this is what they claim. Administrators at the main school added that confidentiality requirements have prevented them from responding to a grossly inaccurate and one-sided story that began circulating on social media. The superintendent didn't immediately return a message seeking comment on Thursday. Boy, that is just an amazing story. So they're butchering the children and keeping it a secret from the parents. Because you remember what, it was Melissa Harris Perry again, wasn't it? Said that we need to stop thinking of our children as being the property of the parents and the family and think of them as the property of the state. Right? Isn't that what she said?
We've always had kind of a private notion of children. Your kid is yours and totally your responsibility. We haven't had a very collective notion of these are our children. So part of it is we have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities.
Yeah, that's what we got to, That's what we got to do. That's the thing. Now, there's all this crazy stuff that I have for you today. Right now, I think I'd like to go, before we get to the man saying that it's good for adult men to have sex with 9-year-old boys because the 9-year-old boys can consent, which is, you remember, who was it? It was on 60 Minutes the other day. Marjorie Taylor Greene on 60 Minutes saying that the Democrat Party is the party of pedophiles, right? And Leslie Stahl was stammering, and the left-wing media was terribly upset because Marjorie Taylor Greene said that the Democrat Party is the party of pedophiles, you know, just in the overwhelming majority of cases, but paying no attention to that. And Leslie Stahl was stammering and rolling her eyes and sucking her teeth, and then she took a raft of abuse from left-wing media types because she was supposed to push back harder against Marjorie Taylor Greene in the 60 Minutes episode, because Marjorie Taylor Greene said the Democrat Party is the party of pedophiles, right? Now, you remember the moment. Let's go to soundbite number 16 today. Here is an LGBTQIAA activist named Peter Tatchell. Peter Tatchell says that boys 9 years of age can consent to have sex with adults. It's like that these books that they put in the children's libraries, the school libraries, that have graphic depictions, drawings, pictures of, you know, boys performing sexual acts on grown men. And here he is saying that 9-year-old boys are old enough to consent to have sex with grown men.
He told me when he was about 50 that he had had sex with a young man when he was 9 years old.
Turns out he was 50.
He said it was his choice. He said he wasn't pressured or manipulated. He said he had no regrets about that sexual experience. So my view is, that's what he's saying. It's his personal view as an adult, mature man looking back on his childhood. If he says that, who am I or you to dispute it?
Who am I? Who am I or you to dispute it? Well, we have laws, and we've had customs for certainly centuries, if not millennia, when it comes to sexually abusing, which is the correct terminology to use, when we're talking. And he says with the young man, it turns out, according to the accounts, we were talking actually about a 50-year-old man. So if you're calling a 50-year-old man a young man having sex with a 9-year-old boy, and Peter Tatchell, LGBTQ activist.
Now, I accept that most sex involving young people is abusive and wrong.
He accepts that.
His view is perhaps exceptional, but it's not a view that should be dismissed and denied. If an adult person looks back on an early sexual experience and says they consented to it, they were not pressured, they were not harmed, they have no regrets or complaint, I think we should do the honest thing and accept their viewpoint.
We should do the honest thing and accept their viewpoint because, you know, 9-year-old is He thinks 9-year-olds are hot and capable of making adult decisions because the Democrat Party is not well, and our media is the Democrat Party and not well. Now, there is a medical doctor that goes by the name of Marcy Bowers. Marcy Bowers. Marcy Bowers was born a little boy, grew up a boy, grew up, you know, became a man, became a medical doctor, and then, boom, became a woman. And Marcy Bowers has performed thousands of surgeries involving gender transitions, you know, from this to that and that to this. Dr. Marcy Bowers is a gynecologist in Burlingame, California, and was involved in a conference at Duke University last year and was talking about the administration medically of puberty blockers for young children, young boys, young girls. You give the girls male hormones and you give the boys female hormones, and it blocks puberty in the little boys. And so it turns them into eunuchs. It turns them into newts. She turned me into a newt. And here is doctor, medical doctor, identifying as Marcy Bowers, performed thousands of surgeries, says that Marcy Bowers is transgender, grew up male, now is female, notwithstanding every chromosome and every cell in Marcy Bowers' body. And listen to this. When they do this to young children, the children will never have a normal sex life, will never have orgasms.
Every single child or adolescent who is truly blocked at Tanner stage 2 has never experienced orgasm. I mean, it's really about zero. These are just assigned male at birth, so trans feminine. And it's because they never in their lives are exposed to testosterone.
Because you guys prevent that from happening. Assigned male at birth, meaning boys who would grow up to be men. And some of them might grow up to be gay. But look what the Democrats are doing. And they'll keep it a secret from the parents and the schools in order to pull this off. Zero. Never. And they're assigned male at birth. That's a funny way of saying that they're boys. Because when they're young, they're boys. When they're adult male humans, they're men. When they're child male humans, they're boys. Zero have had orgasms, and this is what they're doing to them, and they endorse this. Dr. Marcy Bowers.
Blockers prevent the rise of testosterone, and they don't really go on testosterone at or around surgery or into adulthood. And so we don't know. They're going to have this sensation. There's no question about that. But are they going to be able to achieve sexual satisfaction? It's important in relationships.
You think? Just amazing stuff. And what about the girls? Going well for them too?
And I know that from my work with female genital mutilation survivors that the lack of being able to be intimate with a partner is very important.
It's very, very important. Now let me share with you something from the George Orwell book 1984, or as Joe Biden calls it, 1984. This is pretty extraordinary stuff. Here's a line from the book 1984 by George Orwell. We will this is the party speaking, right? It's the party. And the Democrat Party is the party today. We shall abolish the orgasm. Our neurologists are at work upon it now. There will be no loyalty except loyalty to the party. This is from George Orwell's 1984. It continues. We have cut the links between child and parent, just like in the school in Maine. Between man and man, between man and woman, children will be taken from their mothers at birth as one takes an egg from a hen. That is from George Orwell's 1984. Now, what did I just play you? And the AP story that I read from Maine, this is, we've been warned. We were warned about this. But the authoritarian, sexually deviant left has seized control of so many of our public institutions and culturally have seized so much control in the United States of America. Information dominance, cultural dominance. the teachers' unions, the education system. This is what an invading army would do. You take over the radio stations, the newspapers, the TV stations, then you take over the education system. That's what an invading army does when they come to take you over. And George Orwell warned us that they would abolish, and here we are, abolish the orgasm. There, we're kind of now no loyalty except loyalty to the party. Cut the links between child and parent, between man and man, man and woman. Children will be taken from their mothers at birth like one takes an egg from a hen.
What makes you think she's a witch?
Well, she turned me into a newt.
A newt.
Got better.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Hey, it's Chris Plant. You know I like to speak the truth and offer solutions. Well, if you have high blood pressure or know someone who does, I want to tell you about some friends of mine. 120 Life. 120 Life, they're a Chicago-based company that developed a juice drink that can help lower your blood pressure naturally. 120 Life is a natural juice drink made from pomegranates, tart cherries, cranberries, hibiscus, beetroot, and magnesium. It can help lower blood pressure without the side effects. I'm drinking it, and I love it. It helps keep me energized and helps keep my blood pressure in check. Check it out and tell them Chris Plant sent you. Visit 120life.com. That's 120life.com. You can order a 2-week trial pack of their juice drink. There's a money-back guarantee, and you can use the code Chris to save 15%. Visit 120life.com today and start seeing the benefits in just 2 weeks. These statements and products have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. The product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor, every blank page is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with tools and expertise to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. For advice on smart PCs powered by Intel vPro that's built for business, call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
And Doug.
Hey, listener. Welcome to Limu's Karaoke Lounge, where Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need, and the music never stops. Hit it.
There's an emu with a full-time job. His partner's Doug, but Limu's the heartthrob. Grubs and worms, that's what Limu eats. Gotta fuel up to save you money and hit the streets.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Turtle Bay's 31st Annual Spring Plant Sale features heirloom vegetables, hard-to-find perennials, shrubs, trees, California natives, and much more, specializing in drought-tolerant plants that thrive in Redding's climate. The 30% off members-only sale is Friday, April 7th, from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m., and the 20% off public sale is Saturday, April 8th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Turtle Bay's McConnell Arboretum and Botanical Gardens Nursery. Turtle Bay's Spring Plant Sale. Learn more at turtlebaynursery.org.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, and emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Redding with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
What's being hidden from us? About the COVID-19 scenario? About covert climate engineering operations that are wreaking havoc with weather all over the world? About the totality of unfolding and accelerating global environmental collapse? If you're willing to face and investigate shocking, verifiable realities that mainstream media sources and their distract and divide talking heads will never tell you, tune into the commercial-free, non-political Global Alert News Hour, Saturday at 11 a.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicolaus & Company, 244-7199.
I hope that these bills that are restricting or outright banning, puberty blockers or hormone transitions can come to a stop.
Yeah, we wouldn't want laws that would allow people to grow up to be normal sexual beings and reproduce. And we wouldn't want to tell their parents about it while we're issuing puberty blockers and changing their gender at school. Because make Orwell fiction again is something the Democrats must stop. Let's go to the telephones, Michael. Let's go to Teresa calling from Alexandria, Virginia. Teresa, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome. I'm splendid. Thank you.
I was just making a comment to the screener. I had argued, I got into pretty much a lot of arguments when they were ruling on gay marriage. And my point was that if they legalized that, they were going to have to allow other things and recognize other lifestyles because of that. And now, I mean, you have people saying that pedophilia should be okay. You have the transgender saying you should, now you have people, you even have people, they call them furries, that want to be recognized as cats or dogs or foxes or whatever. So, and, of course, polygamy, all that other stuff. And I said that was going to happen before they legalized it, and here we are. I was right.
You're right again. I bet you're always right, Teresa. I bet you're right all the time. I bet you're almost never wrong. With a record like that, so far, what we've seen so far, good record.